Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think. Since you're thinking, now go on. Think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right, let's go to work, and we are here at Gillette Stadium. Another edition of PFW in Progress about to happen for you. The gang's all here. I'm back. Eric's here.
I'm back.
Eric likes to talk early now. Establish himself. Set the tone.
Establish the running game, Fred.
Andy's got a mouthful of chicken parm calzone. Paul's here.
He paused very, very warily.
It's funny. Usually
said
Eric's the one with a mouthful.
Oh, okay. Tucci's in the booth.
Of chicken.
I got a new nickname for him, by the way, Fred.
For Tucci?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Tucci?
No, nothing. I just am adding to the list of nicknames.
Yeah.
Because he has the most nicknames on the show.
What is it?
Dandrogynous. Two genders.
Tucci's in the booth. And
what the hell does that mean?
Androgynous means having the characteristics of both genders. And since your name is two gender and your first name is Dan, dandrogynous.
Yeah, but, you know, nicknames.
Most of the rest of us got it.
I know. See, Eric,
I knew you did.
I don't want this to sound condescending or anything, but growing up with guys, nicknames have to be short. You know, it's got to be like something you can say quickly. Androgynous is
a little too clunky.
Yeah, it's too convoluted.
It's all right.
And not everyone would get it, just like he didn't.
Well, but
you
got to
keep them simple.
Not everyone's as stupid as him.
Most people are.
Really?
Yeah. It's the way of the world.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about football, and from what I understand, that's what people want, because Andy and Paul did a duo.
No, that's what they don't want. We did an entire show of football.
Oh, listen to this email.
And they ripped us.
No, on Thursday,
some
people loved it. Yeah.
Okay.
They said for 2 hours you guys talked about football, and it was refreshing not to have people trying out for Comedy Central for 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll get over it. We got the foursome back, which means comedy,
we're
baby.
Back, baby.
But then again, we had some others that ripped you for not being
Once
funny.
Again, proving we just need to do whatever we feel is natural and...
Right. This is just a bunch of guys who write for a team newspaper having lunch.
Right.
Right.
That's all we're doing.
Thanks to who today, by the way?
Thanks to Pizzeria Grande.
Well, of course.
Once again, our lunch provider. And by the way, they got a new thing going.
What's that?
You know, and obviously this only helps people that are in the vicinity, but if you're listening to the show and you go to Pizzeria Grande.
Mike and Sharon, get over there.
And you mentioned PFW Progress, free soda. So.
All right.
And thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
Oh, Anthony!
So they have to say PFW Progress and thank you, Anthony?
No, we have to say thank you to Anthony for the fat food we're putting in our mouth.
Okay, but the people going don't have to say thank you, Anthony.
Well, they could if they wanted to, but
they
I don't think that would get them the free soda.
PFW
they
Crockett.
Could say thank you, Anthony, because there's a good chance somebody that works there, his name's Anthony.
Oh, right. Now we're just making generalizations. Now, is that okay?
Now we're getting stereotypical.
Again, the only group that you're still allowed to make fun of, the Italians.
Anyway, so in today's times, a free soda, don't look it in the mouth.
No.
You know? Take it.
Or the can.
Take it and run. So that's Pizzeria Grande in Walpole.
Which I have to say yet again as I fourth, fifth, whatever chicken parm calzone I'm on, try the chicken parm calzone if you go there. It is great.
I got the pepperoni one. Very good, too. Now, Paul, I finished the meatball one the last time we were here. Last time I was here.
Thank you.
And Andy was very proud of me. Paul predicted today that I wouldn't finish the pepperoni one because it was too greasy. So I have the gauntlet has been thrown down.
It was more of hoping that you wouldn't finish it.
Oh, because you wanted to.
Yeah, well,
it's not getting to you.
Okay.
Because I mean
lubricants.
Oh. I don't want to get too much off the track, but do you have anything to say about Eric eating his calzone with a knife and fork, and you're just eating yours with your hands?
I expected him to take it the long way, but No, I got no problem with it.
And we are back.
I got no problem.
Are we on yet? Are we on the air?
I use.
That's what she said.
What's that?
You don't use a knife and fork for a big calzone like that?
Not their kind. You can pick it up.
Yeah,
and
it's well held together. Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of like when, Pizza Hut tried to do that. What did they call it? Tizone or something. You can eat it in your. It's. I mean, plus don't I? Anything I can eat with my hands, I'm eating with my hands.
Yeah.
Andy Hart, no like utensils.
All right. So, Patriots, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com. And 508-543-7482 is the phone number. That's 508-543-7482. What do we got, guys? Castle Talk is raging. I mean, I was actually listening to WEEI yesterday, and that's all they were talking about was Matt Castle.
And that's the game I want to play today because that topic has come up. I and Ask PFW kind of put a throwaway line in one of my answers where I said, in my mind, he's at worst a top 20 quarterback in the league right now. And
I think there's no doubt about that.
Then somebody emailed in, questioned that, and wanted to have the other 11 guys or whatever that are below him, above him, whatever. And then EEI yesterday, they spent the whole day arguing he was the sixth best quarterback to end the league last year. Oh, come on. And then Tom Curran was kind of on the other end of the spectrum where Paul is saying, well, Kyle Orton and Matt Castle aren't all that different. And if you're deciding to trade for Matt Castle, you better be damn well sure that when you give up the draft picks and the money, that he's a good enough upgrade over what you have. Tyler Thigpen.
It's really, really, really hard to compare these guys because we've only seen them do it with one team, with one cast of characters around them.
For you know, 1 year in Matt Castle's
right.
case.
You know, and you can say, well, Kyle Orton's more erratic. Well, is that because he's Kyle Orton or because of what's around him, because of the situations he was in games?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So it's hard to say. But what I've seen of Matt Castle, he seems like a smart guy. And forget about this whole system quarterback because every quarterback works within their system.
Right.
You know, and in the Patriots system, it showed that as the season progressed, they were able to, you know, create more variations of that system than they had at the beginning. So it showed me that Castle was learning as he was going along, getting better.
But you still can't take away the one-year wonder quote.
Not
description.
Right now he's a one-year wonder. Not until he
and
does
And as I
it
said
again.
To Eric, you know, Derek Anderson was a one-year wonder who now you saw he fell off and now they don't want him and how good is he. But you haven't gotten a chance to see Matt Castle be injured or go through a tough stretch
or any
of that.
I think we've been looking at this from through the eyes of, you know, the pseudo general manager. You know, what's his value? What's he worth? Let's look at it. Yeah, let's look at it from the head coach. You know, and sometimes that's the same guy. But if you're a head coach and you saw what you saw of Castle in 08, are you saying to yourself, yeah, he can lead my team. I can win football games with this guy for many, many years to come.
I would think so.
That's all you need. That's the only question you need to answer.
We were sort of talking about, we were tossing it around in the office earlier. We were sort of comparing it to if you're choosing teams out on the schoolyard, and you go back and forth with the other captain, who would you want first?
Right.
When do you get to Matt Cassel?
You know, you pick, okay, Manning goes, somebody else takes Brady. Yeah. Well, that somebody else wouldn't be Eric, apparently. But, you know, somebody takes Roethlisberger. Again, probably wouldn't be Eric. But at what point do you get to, okay, Matt Cassel is my pick. Okay. He steps out of that line.
Yep.
And that's kind of the game we wanted to play. Eric did a nice job. He printed out the top 50 quarterbacks from last year. And I think it's hard. I think there's a group that, as I said, you know, Manning, Brady, Roethlisberger. I put Rivers and Cutler in there. I think they've established themselves in the league. Eli Manning. But when it's hard, and then you get to there's definitely a group that he's better than, that I personally think he's way better than.
I mean, I really thought when Favre backed out of the Pro Bowl, I thought that was Cassel. I mean, I know that they had the alternates already named, but I thought for sure Cassel was deserving of that spot. I thought he should have been voted in the first place, but they gave it to Favre anyway. He backed out. Then I think it was Rivers who had the alternate, and then he backed out, and then they gave it to Kerry Collins. Now, you're telling me Rivers and Kerry Collins and Favre were all better than Cassel last year? I'm not buying that argument.
But who determines the alternate?
The voting.
Voting does.
Oh, it's by the votes?
The order of...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We don't find out, but they know as soon as all the votes are tabulated, they know the rank of how they're going to go. But it's not now. This game we're playing isn't just last year. It's your overall perception of a quarterback.
Looking
back, ahead, sideways, however you want to look at it. When would you take him?
Yeah, and that's an important thing to throw in there. That's an important element of this whole thing, because if you're going just by last year, specifically last season, Cassel's way up the list. Has to be.
Right.
I think
literally.
I think
you could take him right then and just kind of bottle that. Yeah, but you can't.
But there are, you know, none.
It's like Drew. I'd bottle up Drew the first half of that season when he was ridiculous.
I mean, there are a lot of seasons when he got off to really fast starts and tended to.
But the trouble is, you got to take the rest of Drew with it.
Right. This sounds like the exact same argument that was taking place seven, eight years ago when Brady had just won the Super Bowl. You're looking at it, say, well, do you keep the guy that you know has done well for you in Bledsoe, or do you look at the future? I mean, maybe this Brady kid was a 1 year wonder and.
But can I
tell
you?
It's the same type of argument.
That all of those arguments were gone when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. There was nobody else. I mean, believe me, I was the card-carrying member of the Drew side.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was suggesting that they should keep Drew over Brady after the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
The only discussion was how much do you now sign Brady to and renegotiate his contract?
Right. Do you fear that he's a one-year wonder? You don't want to give him, you know, this mega deal. And how much can you get for Bledsoe?
Right.
You know, and everybody was pretty safe in saying that they should be able to get a first-round pick for Bledsoe, which they did. And I think that they signed Brady to a very fair contract for both sides, because he wasn't in position yet to even be a restricted free agent. So he sacrificed some money for the security of the longer-term deal early in his career, much like a lot of baseball players do. Dustin Pedroia just did it. And for the Red Sox, that's the kind of deal he signed. But Eric, I think your point was more during the season, down the stretch.
And particularly in the playoffs after he got hurt against Pittsburgh.
You know, once they won the Super Bowl with Brady, believe me, I was as big a Drew supporter as there was.
And you
there's
felt
no
that
way.
Should,
there's
really?
No way you could keep Drew over Brady after they won the Super Bowl. That would have been suicide.
Right. So this is a little different than that.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, you only have that 1 year, one season snapshot of Cassel. But I think there's enough evidence about the way he progressed.
You're getting a little full, aren't
you? With a lot of pressure on a team that's expected to do well. I think he showed enough that you could legitimately put him in a list right now.
I think you're right, because unlike some quarterbacks where they show you a little something, then they really fall off for a while, then they come back.
Well, we're going to find out if he falls off.
We're going to find out. But I think if you watched his progression last year, it was nothing but heading in the up direction.
When I think what these teams give to first-round draft choices with knowing nothing, you know, the contracts they give them, I mean...
That's what it's going to cost you to get
right,
him, though.
But you know a hell of a lot more about Matt Cassel than you do those guys, and they're willing to give them huge deals. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that... I think he comes top 10 easily.
What happens when he leaves Bill Belichick, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker?
Yeah, I'm not sure if a hell of a lot more than those guys is really accurate. He only played one season. I'm not sure that that's a hell of a
lot
more.
But at least as much as those guys get.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about you said you know a hell of a lot more about Matt Cassel, and I'm not sure you do.
Oh, I think you do.
The Patriots might. I'm not sure what the rest of the league knows.
Because all those guys,
I agree.
You can say, well, they had a lot more college experience. But how many guys that come out of college don't do well in the NFL? That's the test. Can they do it in the NFL? And he's shown that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And
for
that's,
eight games.
That's a lot more that you know than from those other guys.
I think it's more. I think you have a – I mean, we're probably arguing a little semantics here, but
– You guys, never.
Yeah. No, and I'm just – I think that you know more about Cassel, but I don't think it's overwhelmingly more. And, you know, you're not going to get him for cheaper. It's going to cost you the same either way. It's costing you a first-round draft pick and a big contract, most likely.
Right, which is what – and I think it's worth it if you're a team that needs a quarterback, because that's what you're going to have to pay for an unknown guy.
Mel Kiper seems to agree with you.
Yeah, Mel Kiper, we should point out, Andy brought up a bunch of guys. Mel Kiper very strongly in the Matt Cassel camp,
right,
which is contradictory to the way he talked about 2 months ago on the same topic. So I don't know if he's maybe talked to some GMs or simply just changed his opinion. But he not only would take him over Stafford and Sanchez, which, by the way, I probably would too. I've said this a lot. I'm not a big Sanchez fan at all. I think he's a product of the system. Stafford has wonderful physical skills, but everything that we hear about him and read about him says that he doesn't have the mental capacity, to maybe succeed at the NFL level. So that's a big time red flag for me. So I like Cassel over the draft picks this year. But not only Kiper likes him over the rookies, he likes him over anybody in the league, basically. I mean, he said his draft class he would be better, he would be ahead of, and he talked about Jason Campbell and, you know, a bunch of other guys that haven't really played.
Right. Alex Smith.
Including, and then he said, I would take him over Jay Cutler right now. I think that is well overstating things.
Really?
Absolutely.
Well overstating.
Yes, yeah, I do.
I think, the physical skills aren't really.
See, I disagree. I think you could make a case that Jay Cutler over Matt Cassel. Absolutely. But I think it's absolutely debatable.
Here's Kiper's quote from yesterday. He came out the same year as those other three. Class of 2005 quarterbacks, Alex Smith, Jason Campbell, Aaron Rodgers, and he's better than those other three, and I'm including Jay Cutler from the class of 06 in that. I'd rather have Cassel than Cutler. So to me, I think Cassel is more worthy of being someone Kansas City or the Detroit Lions go after, Mel Kiper.
Yeah, and that's pretty strong praise. Now, I think that Kiper tends to run off at the mouth sometimes, and not all his opinions are accurate, but he is a fairly respected draft guy. And to do that, you have to be somewhat of a talent evaluator. Wouldn't you guys all agree? Whether you think he's great,
right,
or just average or full of crap.
He's seen it all, and you have to put in the time.
He's in the business of trying to evaluate talent.
Yep.
And I think that's high praise for Matt Cassel.
So where do you guys see him in today's NFL quarterbacks? Where, top 10, top 5, bottom 20? What do you think?
I have him easily in the top 10.
Easily?
Yeah. I knew he was going to laugh.
Just ahead of Roethlisberger.
How's that fried dough, by the way?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Is it?
A little chewy, but
yeah,
pretty good.
I was going to say it looks a little thick. I like my fried dough thinner.
You know? All right.
That's what she said.
You know?
I don't think I have him in my top 10.
I don't.
He'd be in my second 10.
Who do you got somewhere in your top 10, Paul?
Well, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Kurt Warner, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Tony Romo, Carson Palmer, and Matt Hasselbeck.
I could make a case at this point in Hasselbeck's career that he might be better than him.
That's not the argument.
Yeah?
We're asking who's better.
I think right now I take Cassel. And
you think Cassel's a better player than Hasselbeck? Not at this stage of his career. Not, you know, I mean, Hasselbeck didn't play last year. He played like 5 games.
Right.
You just think he's a better player than Matt Hasselbeck?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I also
think... That's what makes this fun. I think that's what
Andy's
point was.
Wasn't he a big Hasselbeck fan?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think that's...
Hasselbeck is a very efficient quarterback. He's in that West Coast system, high percentage, and he did well in there. I also think, you know, Tony Romo is a talent, but mentally, I'm not so sure about him, and that's part of my evaluation process.
And in big games, what happens to him?
Yeah, that's part of...
We don't know what happens to Matt Cassel in big games. He lost them all.
I think for him, every game was a big game with the pressure that he had.
But you know what? I would agree with that, Fred. I think the pressure that he played under, they were all big games, and more often than not, he played well.
Yeah.
Now, you could definitely make an argument, and I've seen this written, that they had big games periodically throughout the season, and he really didn't win them. Pittsburgh,
yep.
Jets,
yep. True.
San Diego earlier in the season.
True.
I don't necessarily buy that. To me, that is like picking out all the games that they lost and saying that was a big game and they lost. I don't buy that argument, and I agree with you, Fred. I think playing under the conditions that he played in last year, all of those games were important for him.
I you know, Romo, if forget about what you know, if my choice is Romo or Castle, I just worry about Romo, period. You know, I think that he's just a little bit of a loose cannon on the field, and I'm not sure if I want to put my franchise in his hands.
So Romo, Fred says no, and Hasselbeck, Fred says no.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phillip Rivers?
Kurt
Warner, Drew Brees?
Well, the thing about Warner...
Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer. Any of those you have a problem with?
I don't think... I can say it yet, but I think in a couple years we'll be able to say that Matt Castle's better than Eli Manning.
I'll put Eli Manning down. Now, here's guys that I also
think
are better
today?
That I didn't that
Gun
I didn't
to
have.
Your head.
How about Donovan McNabb? You think he's better?
No, not now. No.
Wow. This is unbelievable. Jay Cutler you don't think is better.
No.
You already said that.
No.
Matt Ryan? Do you ever rather have Matt Ryan or Matt Castle?
That's a toss up to me. I'll take either one.
Even two genders laughing at you behind the glass.
Why? Because Matt Ryan had one good year?
Okay.
Why?
Now,
because Matt Castle had one good year?
Right, now, I mean, why is he so much better?
But this,
why,
I'm
see,
just
this
laughing.
Why is that not even debatable?
But I'm laughing at the debate because one side thinks it's not debatable
one way.
And the other
side thinks it's not debatable
right.
The other way.
I think this is debatable.
But that's what I'm saying.
But why this is a great topic.
Exactly. Andy and I talked
about
this morning, and we really said this could be a fun show because I think that I think the listeners are going to have a lot of opinions on this. I think we can really have a lot of debate on it. I think it's fun. And there are no right or wrong answers because it's just your opinion. But I'll give you a guy that I don't have on my list of the guys that I think are definitively better, but who had a better year than Matt Castle last year, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just get the sense from him. I don't trust him for some reason.
But this is what I'm talking about. Why don't we trust him? Because he's not a Patriot. Let's just come out and say it.
Okay.
We're PFW in progress, and if he was the Patriots quarterback and threw 28 touchdowns, we'd trust him.
No, that's what I was going to say about Matt Ryan. If I was a Falcon fan, I'd probably say Matt Ryan's, but you know.
Right, but that's what makes it fun.
Right.
Because it's part analysis and opinion, and then it's part, well, we're the Patriots.
Right.
So Castle's better, you know. And, Derek Anderson had a year that was at least comparable to Matt Castle
right.
last year.
Right.
Now, this past season, in 2008, he stunk.
Right. I was telling
I don't
him,
know what I don't
Matt
know what the
Castle
real Derek Anderson is. He was great one year, and he was terrible the next.
I was telling Andy
I don't know what the real guy is.
Earlier, one of the reasons why I always felt John Elway was the best quarterback I've ever seen was because he was not only a great passer, but he could run when he needed to, and he ran well. He ran better than any quarterback I've ever seen. Castle, to me, from what I've seen of him, runs better than any quarterback that is in the game today.
What?
When he has to.
I think he has the
– what? Why is that so funny?
No, I'm laughing about when Fred went, what?
No.
I mean, I think
he's the best runner in the game today? The best?
At quarterback.
But why?
Because I see him all the time running. I know what I get when he runs.
But you see Roethlisberger do it and you hate him.
Right. That's just exactly my point.
Well, Roethlisberger doesn't really run. He's sort of like just like... He dances around back there.
I think that Castle has pretty good instincts.
And, soda's gone?
And toward the end of the season, he got better with picking his spots to run. In the early of the season, he just used it as a, you know.
He used it as a
guy's
crutch.
Not open, I got to go.
Right.
And then he got
better.
I think
he did a great job running
But he's
the
not
football.
Particularly that fast.
No.
Or
he's
elusive.
A good athlete.
He's a very good athlete.
But to say he's the best running right. quarterback in the league?
I'll tell you
well,
this.
Well, name one who's
think,
better.
I don't think he's nearly the runner that Kevin O'Connell is.
Oh,
who hasn't even played yet.
I agree with that, too, Paul.
But in terms of guys that I think are better as a quarterback running and moving around, Roethlisberger is better, number one.
Oh, boy.
Tony Romo is better. That's two. I'm just looking at the list here.
I can see Donovan McNabb is better. That's three.
Most of these other guys, based on last year, Joe Flacco is at least.
And I don't even think he's better, but
I don't know. I think naturally, Castle runs better than any of those guys.
Yeah. Okay.
And if he can throw with as much accuracy as he started to later in the year,
Cutler is more athletic. Cutler can run if you chose to every bit as well as Matt Cazel.
All right, maybe if I saw more of Cutler, maybe I would think that. But
I agreed with your John Elway rundown, by the way, and why he is my favorite quarterback of all time. I think he's the best quarterback to ever play. But in addition to that, I would say I thought he consistently elevated the level of play around him.
Of the players on his team,
he very rarely played with what I considered elite talent until very late in his career, 96 on, when he had Terrell Davis.
Yep. Rod Smith
and those guys, Shannon Sharp.
Yep.
You know, those three amigos were stiffs. Let's call it the way it is.
They weren't that good.
They weren't very good wide receivers.
Believe me, I know.
Okay, yeah,
I know.
Fred was on the Broncos back in those days.
You didn't have one of their jerseys. You had Elway's.
You know, and I think it's very similar to Dan Marino, who you know, somehow time has made Mark Duper and Mark Clayton these great wide receivers who never could do anything without Dan Marino throwing in the football.
Right.
I think they were vastly overrated players who worked very well with that great quarterback. Their skills were accentuated by him. Alvin Harper is a guy who totally lived off of
Troy Aikman, and he proved that when he signed his
There are a lot of good wide receivers that are elevated by great quarterbacks and become, you know, much better in people's
Jerry
minds.
Rice. No,
I won't get mentally irregular and put Jerry Rice in there.
Hey, just before we get to John in L.A. who's on the phone, I just want to tell people that tonight at the Hall at Patriot Place, John Hanna will be there.
Hey, I'm okay.
John, just wait till I'm done. He's going to be in the 150-seat Raytheon Theater. And he'll
presented by Raytheon.
Right, and he'll be doing a talk, and then it'll be followed by a Q&A and an autograph session. The tickets are only $25 at the door.
Nice.
And they're still available. You can go to thehall@patriotplace.com or call them at 508-698-4801. That's 508-698-4801. The doors open at 5:30, I believe, and John will be there at 6:30.
Thank you very much.
Talk. So, you know, it's $10 to get in anyway. So for an extra $15, you get John Hanna's autograph and ask him questions and hear his talk. It's a good take tonight, and the event gets over at 8:30, so you still get home in time to watch Star Search.
Just don't ask him.
Star Search.
Just don't ask him to show you how to block somebody, because he might pick you and start throwing
you
around.
And if you don't ask him how to block somebody, be careful. He might grab and show you how to block somebody.
Just hit you.
So that's tonight at the Hall, 5:30, $25. Get his autograph. Call 508-698-4801 for tickets. All right, on the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, John, what's up?
It's actually warming up here in New England.
Ah, it's been nice the last few days.
Nice.
In the studio, at least.
Derek Anderson had 8 really good games at the beginning of last year. The league figured him out, and then he was terrible in the second half.
Matt Cassel had 8 really good games last year.
Say it again?
Matt Cassel had 8 really good games last year.
No, the difference is, though,
they were in the second half of the year.
Matt got better as the season, as he learned
more. I understand that. I'm just saying that, first of all, I wouldn't put Derek Anderson in the better than Matt Cassel category. I'm just saying they're difficult to evaluate when only 1 year. You guys seem to think a year is like an eternity.
No.
I think it's a ridiculously small sample size to go on.
I agree with that. But I'm saying, if like he said, if you had a gun to your head, who would you have to take?
Over Derek Anderson or Cassel?
No, and any of these guys that we're
talking
about.
Guys that,
any of these guys
that you guys are, like, dismissing with yesterday's trash, like Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck.
That?
You guys. Jay Cutler, you don't even think it's a debate.
No, that's
well,
not.
Jay
that's,
Cutler
no.
is silly. I mean, I love that Kuiper said it, because whether people think he's a joke or not, I do think that a dumber ownership GM group is at least going to take that as cover. You know, there at least that's out there. Like, any comments like that from people who, rightly or wrongly, are deemed to be an authority on personnel in the draft is helpful to the Patriots.
Sure.
Yeah,
I agree. You get one person to buy it, then you're better off, I guess, as a Patriot.
I would agree with John on that one,
Like Fred said, Castle's progression went steadily up as the season went on. It's only been the 1 year. That's why it makes it difficult, because a guy like Cutler, who started off, like Andy said, he was like the league MVP halfway through this past season, and then he tailed off a little bit at the end. When you have more of a sample from Cassel, we'll know whether or not we're accurate. But right now, you have to only go off of what you've seen.
Right, and what I've seen from Cutler is better than what I've seen from Cassel. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
One thing that's worth, I was wondering while I was listening to you guys, at first blush, it does sound like Eric's a little over the top with saying Castle's the best runner at quarterback in the NFL.
Right now, I'm saying.
But at the same
I will
time,
guarantee you he won't run for half as many yards next year as a quarterback as he did this year.
Yeah, probably. I'm just trying to think, oh, who are those quarterbacks that are better runners than Matt Castle?
Roethlisberger, McNabb, Cutler,
Romo.
I don't get Cutler. I get McNabb, and I sort of
Cutler doesn't run a lot.
I look
but
for guys
if he ran as
run,
much as Matt Castle ran this year, he's a better runner.
I think the best running quarterbacks are the ones that run to throw.
And that's what, like, Roethlisberger rarely he takes a lot of sacks. He doesn't have a lot of yards. He runs back and forth across the field to create time.
And I thought that's what Castle did a much better job of
towards the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's what most quarterbacks.
That's why
they don't run as much.
I don't think he'll run for half as many yards next year.
Most quarterbacks run for a lot early in their career and then learn it's not the best way to do it. Stop running.
My evaluation is not based on how many yards he picked up running or how many yards he will pick up this year. My evaluation is when he had to run, he was like, you remember when Steve Young took off? You always were afraid that he was going to gain yardage because he was a good runner when he tucked it away.
Certainly wouldn't put Castle in that kind of category.
No.
No, but I'm saying right now.
He was athletic.
I'm talking about right now among the quarterbacks who are now playing. I don't see anybody who's that good when they have to run in open space as Castle.
I just don't see anybody else running the amount of time, you know, for the way that he ran. I don't really see too many guys
that's
doing
my point.
That.
Like, so
if that makes
Cutler,
him,
if he did,
if that makes him the best,
he had the
then
numbers,
then the
he would have look just as athletic.
I think guys run around to buy time more effectively than he did, and that's what I put those other guys in that category of. But that's, I mean,
Cutler's a better runner than Castle only when you say, hey, Jay, there's your insulin over there.
Oh, why are you going to make a diabetes joke?
You have a problem with a diabetes joke?
It's poor taste.
Lead balloon.
All right.
Poor taste.
One last thing.
Of all people to make fun of you for making a tasteless joke, Andy Hart is on John from L.A. for making a tasteless joke.
Yeah, there's a line, and you crossed
it. There's something wrong with that, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I would like to nominate for this year's Tank Williams, I'm Always Injured, But Let's Take a Chance on Him award winner, Mike Brown.
Well, I mean, he's a higher level than Tank Williams, but yeah.
And he's a higher level of injured, I mean, believe it or not. I mean,
right, but he's also, constantly. When healthy, is considered a top-level safety.
Yeah, and he's probably hurt more often than Tank Williams, but probably not as seriously as Tank Williams. Tank Williams had some really, really ugly injuries.
Yeah, I think Brown has missed 44 games over the last 5 years or something like that.
I love Mike Brown as a veteran safety to bring.
I agree. Too. I like him a lot.
And it's why the Bears are debating whether they can invest him in him to keep him or not, because when he plays, he's very good.
Yeah, I like Mike Brown a
play.
Lot.
Yeah, I'd be scared if they did bring him in. My only concern would be like with Tank Williams last year, how long before he gets that injury where he's no longer useful?
I think two separate seasons the Bears' defense fell off significantly when he went down. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? I mean, there were two seasons where they were ridiculous on defense and he got hurt, and the very next game you could see the dramatic drop-off because he's such a key playmaker for them.
Is Tank Williams still on the contract?
No.
No,
he's a free agent.
Well, I mean, technically, yes, but no.
Yeah, he'll be a free agent on the 27th.
Yeah.
Why, you want him back?
He could help out.
I think there's a chance, but it's another serious injury.
Yeah. I know. Some people don't want Brady back because he's damaged goods. He could help out, Tank Williams. We know he's not done.
I know Brady's not done.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, John.
All right.
Now, we need to get back to the point.
John in L.A.
Up in the office where I said, Eric, this is interesting radio because after you go Manning, Brady, you know, you get some debate, and Eric goes, well, Manning, yeah, Brady, he's hemming and hawing. He might not have Brady ahead of Castle.
I'm going on.
And he pointed to his knee and his head.
It's a toss. If you're talking about who you would take
now, that's Eric Scalavino saying Brady Castle, quote, it's a toss-up.
You can't finish a sentence around here.
No, this is called drumming up interest.
If you're talking about taking a guy from now on, I'm going with the younger guy who has more potential, who's not injured.
Opposed to the guy that's 32 that's
in the prime of his career.
We know he's amazing.
We know he's amazing. We also know he has a bad knee injury and some question about whether or not he's committed to the game.
According to Andy, it's like getting
I don't have any question at all that he's committed to the game.
Said he's playing till 40.
Well, I have none of those questions.
I heard him say
that
too.
I am not an Ask PFW poster. I don't have questions about his commitment to the game. This is a big assumption. Assuming that he can play, and I'm going to go off of the reports that he's been working out and dropping back and doing all that, and we'll be able to open the season, I'm going to go off those reports rather than the ones that say that he might have to have another surgery. big assumption. I'll admit I'm believing the positive story, which is rare for me. I'm usually cynical. I'm going to go off of that and say Castle is younger than Brady. He does not have more potential than Brady. I'm sorry. I don't think a high-end Castle could approach what Brady's done. That's my opinion. I don't think as good as Castle could get would approach what Brady's done. I don't think that is capable.
You don't think Castle could win Super Bowls with this team?
I don't think that he could throw 50 touchdown passes. I don't think that he could
lead
Super Bowl winning drives. I don't think
that
he's going to do that as consistently.
It's turned Rishay Caldwell and Jabari Gaffney into 100-yard receivers in the playoffs. Can he do that?
I don't think he can do that.
Because we've seen that he can play with Wes Welker and Randy Moss, but can he do it with that? Can he do it with a running game with no running? Can he do all the things Brady has done?
People forget that Pittsburgh game. It only happened around Thanksgiving. It wasn't that long ago. I saw Brady take that same defense and carve it to shreds several times. I saw Matt Castle look like a deer in the headlights.
I won't put all the blame on Castle's shoulders. I'd like to include the tackles in that pie.
What, the tackles were different when Brady played?
No, they played different.
It's hard to tell.
Nick Kazier day was one of the worst tackles on the face of the planet.
Listen, I'm not...
He looked like that guy from that game in Richmond
or
whatever.
The only thing I don't like about this is
Division two,
the guy who had his... Sidwell. Sidwell. That had his name spelled wrong.
Sid Bubby.
Sid Berry. That's right. Sid Berry it was.
And he had Sid Bubby on the jersey.
I don't want this to come off as Matt Castle bashing because
Castle's better than Brady.
I have to consider myself among this panel anyway. I was the biggest supporter of Castle through the preseason anyway. So...
I wanted to cut him.
Just because I don't think he's as good as Brady doesn't make me a Matt Castle basher.
Right. I'm saying there's a crossroads here. And you have to make a decision with one of these guys. Take one of them or the other.
I mean,
and I'm saying at this point
Hey, Theo Epstein's doing bowling.
It's Dave Ryan.
Oh.
I think he went to Tufts.
He does look like Theo Epstein though. It's a good call.
All right.
I'm saying at this crossroads you have to decide on one or the other.
But is it really a crossroads?
I think it might be.
I think it's a crossroads for all the teams considering Castle. I think the Patriots are going down the same highway. Put Brady in the driver's seat.
Boy, I'm way off on the health of Tom Brady if this is a crossroads.
Right. And, you know, Bill Walsh in his book, which we all know that Bill Belichick read about sustaining success, says the key to being a general manager or a head coach in the NFL is knowing when to get rid of these veterans. No, what's the right time?
And you hear Bill all the time.
Right.
A year too early is better than a year too late.
Right. And
thank you, Kevin Falk.
But assuming his knee is okay, this guy is one season away from the greatest season a quarterback could ever have. How can you even consider, you know, getting rid of him?
You can't even consider it. You can't say it.
Yeah. I just can't. This guy has another.
He's taking an ugly turn for you, Eric.
This guy has another 6 years left.
Even Fred's not in your camp.
This guy has
Eric's
another
gone from super fan to trade Brady.
He might, but I'm just saying, we don't know if any of this is true or not. But what if a team came to the Patriots and said, you know, we've been hearing that, you know, Castle's available, but what about the other guy?
Okay, what are you?
I'll
listen to anything, but what are you offering?
Yeah, it's a different argument.
What? Well, I don't know what they're offering, but I'm saying if that team came to you, and they put a lot more than a first-round pick and another player on the table.
Well, it's got to be a lot more than that.
I wouldn't even listen.
Yeah.
You wouldn't listen at all to any offer.
Because I don't think anybody is dumb enough to do something like four or five first-round picks.
I'll listen.
Oh.
See, I'm not.
How about three?
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't trade Brady for three first-rounders? I would.
You would.
Nope. Oh, yeah. I've been very consistent with that. If someone wants to be foolish... And set me up for the future as well as the present.
And by listening, I'd be worried that Tom Brady would think I have him on the trading block.
I'd need three firsts and three seconds.
I'll play devil's advocate for Eric here and say one of the other things that Bill Walsh, I bet, would adhere to, and I didn't read the book, which makes me a real WEEI personality.
Right.
the ability to find that replacement to your quarterback. And, you know, the Niners were able to sustain it for another 5, 6, 7 years by going from Montana to Young. Is Castle Brady's
got younger?
Young. I don't know.
He is if he sticks around here. You know?
Oh, I know. If he goes somewhere else, he'll fall off the planet.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, if he sticks around here...
Ryan Lee is. Right. We'll hate him.
No. You mischaracterize what I'm saying
here.
If he sticks around as Brady's backup, you know, every time if Brady has a bad game or a bad stretch, people are going to be saying, oh, put in Castle.
No, I just meant will Castle take the baton permanently from Brady the way Young took it from Montana. At some point, the Niners said,
right.
Okay, we're going to make the move here.
Yeah, but how old was Montana at that point?
He went to Kansas City. He was old, but yeah. He went to Kansas City for the last couple of years of his career.
That's why this is unprecedented. We talked about last week. I don't think there's ever been anything like this, ever, because it's arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, still in the prime of his career.
Right.
That's what makes it so different.
When Don Strock came in and led Miami to...
He was strictly a backup.
He was older, and he was just a backup. There was no...
Yeah.
This is two guys in the prime of their career.
Right.
But that's why I think this is a really fascinating topic, and we can talk in so many different layers. You can talk about the other quarterbacks around the league. You could talk about rookies coming out. Would you rather have, you know, Matt Ryan than Matt Castle? I think there's so many different ways to look at it. And then... Eric brings up the Brady element of it. You know, would the Patriots be short-sighted to not at least explore the possibility of saying, hey, Castle's not that far below Brady. I can get a lot more for Brady. There's so many different ways of looking at it.
Well, that's the other issue. What is Matt Castle worth?
Yeah.
Because you know my theory, when I look at the Brady trade, any potential, I subtract what I would have gotten for Castle. So if Floyd Reese is right and it's a 1 and a 2 for Castle, like the high, well, if I only get 3 ones for Brady, I haven't really maximized it because I got an extra one, and you know what I mean? That 2 is higher, but the net gain is not quite 3 ones because I could have traded Castle for a 1 and a 2. So you got to keep that in mind. That's why I wouldn't even listen.
On the phone right now is Al from Valdosta.
Ditka called.
Al,
Ditka,
how you
called
doing?
Listen.
fellas, how you doing?
What's up, Al? Hey.
You teed me up perfectly because... October, I called WEEI. Now, I'm not sure Denny and Callahan heard me because it was before the election, and I think they still have the tinfoil on their heads.
Probably.
That's a good point.
But I suggested 2 number 1s from Detroit plus Ernie Sims, and I would trade Brady for that. And I think I still would.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Ernie Sims is not a guy that I would want in New England based on
too small.
The numbers.
Well, if he plays safety.
Oh, that's true. He weighs 225 pounds.
Tiny.
Six feet. I'm not sure he would fit in well in their system. Now, maybe he's good enough that Belichick would say, I'll take the guy and find a way to use him. You might be right, Al. I mean, he might be just that good. That
he is a tremendous athlete.
Yeah. Oh, no question. He can run sideline to sideline, quote-unquote.
And Andy and I both loved him on his
Florida
college
State
tape.
Guy.
I remember specifically watching him, but he was so small, we just kind of dismissed him for a 3-4 linebacker. But now that he's proven that he can play in the NFL at that size, maybe Bill would look at it like you do, Al, and say, I got to find a way to get this guy in my defense. Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a little built-in bias. You know, Florida State's only about 80 miles from where I'm calling you from, and you know, we had all the highlights of him in high school, and he was built up to be the next big thing, and, you know, so.
And he's lived up to it. I mean, I think his size hurts him because he's not huge. He's not that dominating presence, but he's had a great young career.
Is there any Nnamdi Asamoah to him, though, in that great defensive player on a really, really bad team?
Somebody's got to make the
tackles. Suddenly he's elevated to a higher status because of that.
Could be.
You know who's an underrated player? That Nnamdi Asamoah. He's the best cornerback in football.
Could be. Somebody has to make tackles, and when you play linebacker, you generally make a lot of tackles, and that's what he's done for Detroit. Certainly the other teams had the ball and moved up and down the field a lot.
I worry about that sometimes with really, really bad teams.
Al, what about the D-end outside linebacker out of Florida State? Give us a little scouting report.
Yeah, we like him. It's Everett
Brown?
Brown, yeah.
Ooh, yes. Very good. Very good.
Very good.
Kind of like, I guess, a Mike Vrabel type of a clone,
okay,
you might say.
Is he more athletic than that? I'd like him to be a little bit more a speed rusher.
Well, you know, I hear your point, but I never thought that Vrabel got the credit for being the kind of athlete that he really is.
He's pretty good.
He's a great athlete, but...
He's a great athlete.
I'm talking about the first 2 steps off the ball. Can he beat a left tackle? That's what I'm looking for.
Well, you know, that's the question for anybody, and, you know, who knows? Time will tell. We'll find out in these combines, and I don't know if he played in any of the Senior Bowls or any of the, you know, East-West Shrine or any of that stuff, but I know who you're talking about. And,
I mean, he's thought of very highly. He's considered top D-end.
Late first-round pick, right?
Maybe higher.
Projected first round. He's the number one listed on defensive end in our little rankings here. 6'4", 252, runs a 4.65.
And he's definitely one of those defensive ends, college defensive ends, that people are
look
at
it as
like
I'm
looking for. Projecting. To outside linebacker.
But I don't care about the 40. I'm lusting after an edge rusher whose first step is
quick switch
Dwight Freeney. Yeah, the quick twitch guy.
There you go.
Give me
the
winch.
I don't know what Dwight Freeney can run the 40 in, but
right.
I don't care.
I want to know how quickly he beats Matt Light.
There you go.
I think that's probably why he's listed just a hair above the Brian Arapco kid from
He's another
Texas.
One that a lot of people are projecting will be able to play outside linebacker, at least as that edge rusher.
Right.
Whether they can do the other things that Bill will need them to do. That's a mental thing. You don't know about that. But those guys are projected as speed rushers off the edge that might be able to be outside linebackers. And I saw Mike Mayock yesterday, something that Mike Reese wrote about. Mayock says this might be one of the best years
for
that position. Those outside linebackers in the 3-4 type outside linebackers. There's a lot of them.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this breaks down. Usually you have to pay to get somebody's projected first round on one of these internet services, but it seems like there's a lot more of them out there for free this year that you don't have to pay.
Yep.
And the ones I've seen, they have the Patriots drafting Cushing from SC.
Yeah, I've seen
in the first round.
I don't know if
you've probably seen other things than that.
Well,
too,
it's so early and so varied. Like I saw one that was Vontae Davis, the corner out of Illinois, Vernon Davis's little brother.
I take him.
Then
over
I saw another one where Vontae Davis went with like the 11th pick. And the Patriots obviously at 23. I saw one with Cushing, and I've seen drafts with Cushing up higher than that where he wouldn't be around. Sintem, the kid out of Virginia who played true outside linebacker, not as much a projection. Another name I've seen there. Another cornerback who I'm drawing a blank on now. But they've been all over the place, and it'll be a while before they settle into any consistency through the combine and the pro days and that kind of stuff.
All right, one more subject I wanted to bring up, and then I'll let you guys go. But you know, I'm proud to say that I didn't see any of the Pro Bowl this year.
Neither did I.
I didn't either.
Not one snap. Haven't seen any highlights. Don't know who won. Please don't even tell me.
Okay.
I think maybe the time has come for the league really to consider just dropping the Pro Bowl altogether. I mean, it's something where, you know, and I don't mean to, again, wax historically with you like I used to carry 50-pound blocks of ice up 15 flights of stairs. But, you know, back in the day when, you know, if Ed Obradovich was only making, you know, 10-5 or 13-5 a year, then, yeah, it mattered to Ed Obradovich to go to the Pro Bowl and maybe pick up a couple extra grand. But, you know, these days it doesn't matter to these guys, and it shouldn't really matter to them. So, to me, if you want to have a list of All-Pro or Pro Bowl and come out with that list and that means something to people, then fine. But you probably just shouldn't even play the game.
Well, what matters to the players is the winning side gets 40 grand, the losing side gets 20, and if you've got a big family that came with you to Hawaii, you're going to use that 40 grand to pay for their hotels and stuff. But, yeah, I see your point, though, Al. That aside from that, it's really –
Well, and
you know,
I think they like the trip to Hawaii. Of course. They chum around with other great players. And
who
wouldn't? It's a social event.
It's a week-long
– I'm with Al. But they can do all that stuff and not have the game. You know, make some sort of skills competition for the
They should
for
just
the
do
guys.
It at the Super Bowl, but without the game.
Right.
Everybody would want to go. The Super Bowl
well,
generally
the
in a nice city.
The league would have to figure out some way to make some money off it so that they can pay all these guys.
Well, I can't imagine them making any money off it the way it is now.
Well, they sold 50,000 tickets.
And if you remember, guys, this isn't going back too far. This isn't going back too far, but because of the NFL trying to make the Pro Bowl into something, you know, kind of snappy and cool, we lost Robert Edwards.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Robert Edwards had one of the worst knee injuries ever.
Yeah.
Because he tried to show up out there and play some, I don't know, rookie beach game or something. And, you know, come out with a list, pat everybody on the back, have a big press conference, tell everybody how wonderful they are, and then just move on.
But Fred's
I mean,
they got to find a way to make some money off of patting everybody on the back.
That's right.
I'd like to see the numbers on that.
Oh, my God, I am the winner.
I'd like to see what kind of money they make. I mean, the game was in danger of being blacked out. It may have been blacked out. They couldn't sell enough tickets. I can't imagine that anybody is paying money, significant money. I got to think the sponsors are all, it's like carryover sponsors. For, you know, you advertise during the season for us and during the Super Bowl and all of this stuff, and we'll give you a spot, you know, extra spots for the Pro Bowl. They're not getting, I mean, the ratings are ridiculous. You heard Al, and he didn't even know a week later who won the game.
But you got jersey sales and T-shirts.
Great cash, homie.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out.
I can't imagine they're making a ton of money off the Pro Bowl.
I got no idea.
Hey, fellas, have a great day, okay?
All right.
All right.
All right.
I just feel like Al's got a better voice than all of us.
Well, I always think that he's the professional radio guy who calls in to tell us what we're all doing wrong.
Right. He's got good.
All right, we got a lot of emails. Some about Castle, some about other things. Robert Kraft and Howard Stern yesterday. People emailing in about that. We'll get to that right after this.
It's a super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So, stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new Egg White Flatbread Sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
This offense has completely turned the corner to me. Against an average defense, they're going to put points on the board. And I think you have a better chance of doing that in Miami than you do in the Meadowlands.
I just want to have another chance
January.
To beat the Jets. Oh, God.
But they have another chance to beat you.
So what? Don't
see,
be
it's a
I'm not afraid of that. Unbelievable.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
No, we don't.
All right, Fred, anytime you want to talk.
Yeah, that's your cue.
You going to give me the high sign in there? Two Jen is just looking at me like he's some kind of male model in there. what are you doing? You got to tell me. Go. All right?
I figured you know when the talking stopped.
I don't know when the bit's
you're
over.
You're assuming that? That's a terrible assumption on your part.
You're the one that did the bit. I don't know when it's over.
He's a monkey.
All right. Paul's gone.
Thank God. Yep.
Paul went to the big show.
Paul had a thing.
So he's going to be representing us on the big show today. After this show, tune in at 2 o'clock to EEI and call in and mention PFW in Progress.
How long is Paul on for?
4 hours.
Really?
Two to six.
Not really.
No?
It's 4 hours of clock time, but they're always off the air. They take long breaks.
No, I know.
Probably puts in an hour and a half.
He's there for 4 hours.
Wow.
Who's
he
on
two
with?
Two to six.
What?
Who's he on with today?
I don't know. Does it matter? It's Paul.
It's true.
Yeah.
Which means there's no way I'm listening. Could be on with Obama and I wouldn't be listening.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Hey, Eric, what do you think about the octuplet lady?
Have you been following that at all, Fred?
This woman who wants to be, she wants to have plastic surgery to look like Angelina Jolie.
Well, yeah, that's one of the side effects, I think, to this whole story is that she's sort of morphed into that or whatever. But she had six kids to start with. Then she got divorced or something, and then the doctor made her have all these other kids. And
what do you mean he made her have them?
Well, because he implanted the embryos in her. He didn't have to do all of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it wasn't by chance that she had these kids.
No.
Put in like
it was a doctor.
There's some chance involved.
Okay, well, right. She should be put in jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trouble and now she set up a website where, because she originally she said, I'm not going to go on welfare or any sort of state assistance. I'm going to, you know, earn it on my own and get that. Now she's set up a website where you can send donations and money or
takes
or
credit cards too.
It takes credit cards, exactly.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
Good Lord.
Didn't you tell me you had a joke here? I was trying to set you up for a joke.
Well, I did. I mean, the whole thing just kind of reminds me of a James Bond film.
James Bond film?
Octopussy.
Oh, jeez.
No?
All that to get to that? holy crap.
Well, what about...
Never again am I playing your straight man.
Is there someone on the phone?
Who?
Oh, Dwayne's in Boston, and he's on the phone. Dwayne, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great.
What's up?
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
With the Matt, the pending Matt Castle trade, because I don't believe he's actually going to stay here, and with the top picks that the Patriots have in the draft, and also the young players that are on defense, do you think that next year we could see a significant improvement in the defense?
You have to,
even without a new veteran.
Yes. I do. I think barring injury, they're going to be better than they were in 08.
Because I think Mayo's going to be better. I think you don't just assume that Vrabel's going to be banged up, and he talked about it a little bit. He clearly had some shoulder issues this year. Mm-hmm. You don't assume Thomas is going to miss half the year. Yeah. You can assume that Merriweather is going to take another step forward and be more productive. And you got to assume one of the rookie corners, Wheatley or Will Hyde, will be better.
Plus, if they don't do an extension, Wilfork's playing for a contract. Seymour's playing for a contract.
Yep. Yep.
So I think you're going to have a good year out of those guys.
Now, that said, it definitely needs to be augmented with some free agent or draft help.
They need depth in the secondary. There's no doubt about it.
And they could use some more help at linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that with the picks that they have, and with the free agents that are available, I think that gives a prime opportunity for them to get the help that they need this year.
Well, what you said, you started your call by saying that you think Castle will be traded. That's the biggest chip in that whole puzzle, because if that $14 million is still tied up at quarterback, that's going to limit some of the things
you can do. Can I say a prediction?
Go ahead.
He's gone by the second week of free agency.
I agree.
By the second week.
I think he's gone.
By the second week, I think he's gone.
I think he's gone within 3 or 4 days of free agency as well. That's my opinion.
Also, can I call? Can I do some name calling?
Sure.
I'm not going to. Trust me, I'm going to do my hardest to keep it PG.
Okay.
All right. First thing I want to say, Tom Casale is a deuce.
Okay.
You guys can't say it, so I'm going to say it for you.
All right. Thank you.
And next thing, Tom Brady is a wuss.
Oh!
Eric feels that way.
Okay.
That's not what I said. Don't.
And this is because of these photos on the beach?
No, this is not just because of that. I mean, this is a compilation of all the different things he has done since he has become a Patriots quarterback. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not in any way, shape, or form. Minimizing his impact on the Patriots. I still think he's a great player. He's still my favorite quarterback. I still think he's the best quarterback of all time. But you must remember, this man is a wuss.
Oh, wow.
We are talking about a man who walks around with a man bag in public and who has taken multiple pictures with his shirt off and some holding baby farm animals.
That is all true.
A lot of hot girls were digging on me last night.
They were paid to do that.
And then, of course, don't forget canoodling in public ponds with his Brazilian model girlfriend.
I don't mind having the pictures taken like in Esquire or GQ or wherever he was. But, you know, don't you have any say into like what they're asking you to do?
I think he was okay with it.
You know?
He was okay with it. And you know what? And this is what takes to a whole nother level. If you did not include Brady's name to any of those things that I just named, and you asked someone on the street, which athlete do you think would do all of these things? 9 out of 10 people would say A-Rod at the drop of a dime.
Probably.
Now, I'm not comparing Brady to A-Rod. But if you take them off the field, Tom Brady is just as much of a wuss as A-Rod is off the field.
But he has better taste. I mean, that Madonna, she's filthy.
Well, he's learned. He started out with Tara Reid.
Oh, well, yeah.
Guys, that's all I have.
All right, Dwayne.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well said.
Dwayne from Boston. Brady's a wuss?
Wow. That's interesting.
That's tough.
How would A-Rod be thought of differently if he had the on-field? Because I know he hits all the – but if he was a clutch guy.
If he won World Series.
If he had World Series, he hit a Game 7 home run, the types of things Brady has done. Mm-hmm. How would that change his A-fraud, his lipstick, his – all this crap that he has to – the steroids.
See, I think Brady could have still been as big a superstar as he is – without having done those types of photo shoots.
No question. No, it's what he wants to be. He likes fashion. He likes all that stuff. He's a metrosexual.
But do you think it is growing up with, like, what is he, a
girls?
Sisters?
Yes. Yes, I do think that's a part of it.
And he was the youngest, right?
In California, there's a certain air of lifestyle out there. Right.
Now, Paul happened to be in the office. Paul happened to be on the office last Friday. and we got into this huge, huge argument.
Oh, that's right.
About... My contention is, and I do want to get to the email, so I promise.
At some point this show, we'll read an email.
But we got into this huge argument about...
I was on your side, Fred.
Yeah, my contention is that Boston has never had a sports superstar like Tom Brady, where someone who transcended the sport. Now, of course, Bobby Orr, Ted Williams, Bill Russell, you know,
best in the league at their time.
Larry Bird, great superstar, absolutely top of this sport. But they've never had a guy like Joe Namath, a guy who transcends the sports, and he and of himself becomes a celebrity. Now, you can say it's because he went out with Gisele Bündchen or because whatever the reason is that got him to that point, he is that person now. And I don't think Boston's ever had anyone like that before. And Paul, you know, we got into this huge argument.
I agree with Paul. I think Ted Williams was that as much as you could be that in the 40s.
It also, Fred, it also came down to, we were saying that Brady has the look that all of these celebrities of today have.
That's right.
That Bird didn't have.
That's right.
That Russell didn't have. That Orr didn't have. And Paul was sort of dismissing that as not being important.
But that's part of it.
But yet all the ladies in the office who overheard the shouting match that ensued came to your defense in that regard because they were saying, you know, Brady's a good-looking guy.
Larry Bird never made the gossip pages. You know,
right?
Tom Brady has a paparazzi following him around. Now you can say, well, it's also because of Bündchen. Fine,
it is.
But Larry Bird would never be able to date somebody like Gisele Bündchen. You know,
he might have been.
No, she looks are important to her. Believe me.
No, but there are plenty of. Have you seen Heidi Klum's husband? Who's Heidi Klum's husband?
I don't know, but
Seal. Somebody put out an iron on his face.
Okay, well, they're branding. It's supposed to be that way.
But
not
if Larry
kind of
Bird, if Larry Bird pursued that, he could have gotten it.
I don't think
From day one, Tom Brady, as soon as he became a starting quarterback with some buzz, was accepting, he went to Miss America, was a judge there. He wanted to pursue that.
Off-field
parties,
stuff.
Glamour,
whatever
blitz, fashion.
But
if Larry Bird had wanted to, he could have.
But the fact is, you guys are mixing up the whys as to what it is. It doesn't matter why it happened. It is what it is now. Larry Bird's career is over, and he never got there. Bobby Orr's career is over, and he never got there. Tom Brady
is there. But
where's
there? TMZ.com?
Well, no. I'm just saying, the status of the celebrity beyond the sport. He transcends the sport, I think.
Yeah.
And you can say it's for all the wrong reasons, fine.
I think it's for the wrong reasons, and I don't think it brings
any
value to the
team. Joe Namath posed in pantyhose. That's part of his...
Right.
You know, you can say, well, he's a wuss for doing that. But he was Broadway Joe.
So how many athletes are included overall in the group you put Brady?
It's guys like David Beckham. It's guys like Joe Namath.
Tiger Woods.
It's Tiger Woods.
I think Derek Jeter. Brady is nowhere near those two, Beckham and Tiger Woods. I think they are worldwide celebrities.
Well,
they are worldwide
celebrities.
I think Tom Brady is a solid step below
them. I think golf and soccer worldwide are bigger sports than football.
Yes.
But as far
for whatever
as you,
the reason,
as far as you can go with football, he is there.
And he's not Jordan. Jordan is worldwide.
I would put him there too.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. He's a severe, a long step down, a big
Yeah. But okay. But as far as Boston goes, we've never had anyone like this. And we don't like that. We're a blue-collar town. We don't like our guys doing all these photo shoots. We like Ted Williams fishing and, you know, Air Force pilot and, you know, curmudgeon, you know, Bobby Orr down to earth, drink a beer with. Yep. We're
Bird
not used
was always
to
going back to Indiana, exactly. Going to his hometown.
We're not used
French
to this.
Lick.
We're not used to the glitzy guy because we're Boston. We're you know.
And we don't like the glitzy guy.
And if we don't know you, we don't like you. That's the way we are.
I agree.
Now, I've got we have a new thing with the show with the audio questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a couple people that do them. And by the way, I know that I got killed. I wasn't on the show on Tuesday, but Josh really was mad at me for making fun of him.
And then he was mad at me for
So, I
back.
No, but that's okay. I understand, Josh. You're doing your best, and that's fine.
As Cartman says, sometimes your best isn't good
I deserve
enough.
The criticism. You know, these guys are trying to get with the new technology, so I should encourage you.
Mm-hmm. This is really new technology.
But my way of encouraging sometimes is being critical. I'm a tough guy.
Tough love from Kirk.
I'm a tough guy.
You know?
A self-proclaimed tough guy.
But Mikey Vandalism is one of our guys, and here's his audio file.
As from PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you live again from East Haven, Connecticut, with another premium question. Or should I say... premium.
I like it.
Question. My question to you guys this week is Matt Cassel's $14.65 million tender that is due for the 2009 season. Now, if Matt Cassel is traded, will that $14.65 million tender follow him to his new team? And if so, do you think that will detour some teams from maybe possibly wanting to trade for him? So I just figured I'd get your thoughts on that, and hopefully he will get traded. I'm hoping we could, you know, pick up another first rounder, and maybe some extra picks, so we could get some premium talent in this 2009 draft. Your thoughts?
Premium.
He's the early favorite in that technology. Oh,
and that's good audio too.
And Mikey Vandalism is he's embracing the technology.
He is.
It's about sound.
He went out and bought a microphone. Sounds
it's
like
it's about sound, and so you got to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the answer is no. But technically, it won't. There's a chance he signs the tender, they trade him, then the other team rips it up and does a long term deal. Mm-hmm. He won't play for a $14.65 million for another team this year. The only team he would play for under that number would be the Patriots.
One. Yeah, right. He's not going to go somewhere else and play for that 1 year contract.
Right. No one's going to, and that's
no one's
where
want to do that.
People get confused. The control he has at this point in the process is for any team to give up enough to get him, they're going to want a long term deal with him.
Right.
So that if he refuses to sign a long term deal to negotiate with them,
they're not
that'll blow up any trade.
That'll blow up a trade.
He doesn't really have control. You know. If the Patriots and the Raiders wanted to work out some sort of a swap of Asamoah and Cassel, they could. Because Cassel signed the tender. It's his contract. He's now a property of the New England Patriots that can be traded.
And in that case, if he didn't want to sign the long term with the Raiders, they would have to pay him the 14.6.
Yes, that's the one way. But even that, I don't know why they would make that move.
Well, then the next year, if he still didn't, they could make him a franchise player again.
Right. It is the Raiders, after all.
Yeah. Right.
Not entirely impossible.
But I think that would fall because the Patriot. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's really possible on that specific scenario.
But in most cases, that's not a team's not going to want to make that kind of a deal for a guy to have for 1 year.
Because you franchise him again next year, it's a 20% raise.
That's
so whatever 20% of $14.5 million is,
right?
Now you're up to 17.
And if a couple other quarterbacks get bigger contracts, you know, now you're now you're screwed. All right, so that's good. Mikey Vandalism. Kamani writes in, and he says that, did you hear your boss Robert Kraft on the Howard Stern show Wednesday? They talk mostly about the economy. I did hear that because Chris Ferreira was quick enough to be able to record it and make me a CD, so I listened to it. I thought it was a very good interview.
Didn't hear it.
I thought Robert Kraft must have commanded a lot of respect to get through a 16-minute interview and Howard Stern not bring up sex once. So to be able to do that on the Howard Stern show is pretty good.
And they talked economics?
They talked the economy. They talked about Tom Brady. Uh-huh. They talked about family and you know, overall.
What did he say about Brady?
He said that Brady's going to be fine, that, you know, and they were making fun of him. You know, now what's with this Brady with the Giselle Bundchen? You know, is he gonna you know, forget how to throw a football? You know, they're really, you know, yucking it up. And, you know, Robert Kraft was more or less, look, he's a smart kid. He knows what's best for him. And so it was a very good article. I love the State Farm commercial with LeBron.
All right.
He's good, isn't he? He is.
LeBron's a good pitch man.
He's a force. He really is. He might be a better pitch man than Michael Jordan was.
No. I don't know about that.
And why is he any better than Peyton Manning, who everybody makes fun of?
I'm not. Peyton Manning's a force, too.
But everybody rips Peyton Manning for doing all the ads.
This LeBron never did an Oreo eating commercial.
Who's ripping him?
Everybody rips the overexposed Peyton Manning who looks like a penis.
Because I don't think LeBron's overexposed at this point.
He's getting there.
He might be getting there, but I don't think he's there yet.
I don't think anybody will do it. It's just they hate Peyton Manning, and they always try to attach reasons to it.
He does Nike and State Farm.
Mm-hmm. Gatorade.
He does Gatorade spots?
Pretty sure.
What else?
He does a lot of commercials. I don't know.
I've only seen those two.
He's been on Saturday Night Live.
Well, yeah. So is Brady.
But I think
what does
great.
Manning do? He does MasterCard. And
he
Sony.
Does a lot more than that.
Yeah.
I can't
Oreo.
He does the Oreo thing.
I would say they're pretty similar.
But
I
so
think
what?
He has a lot more.
Why is me saying LeBron James is great saying that
he
Peyton
does,
isn't?
He does the same thing, and you and your elk like to
I never said
ilk.
It.
I know.
Don't lump me in
I
there.
Say ilk.
I think a I mean, guy elk. In the window that he's a professional should try to make every dime he can.
And LeBron has always
every
been open.
Way
he said
can.
He wants to be the first billion-dollar athlete.
Yeah. So.
And he's well on his way.
I got no problem with it. And he backs it up on the court. I mean, the guy.
Yes,
is
he
just,
does. He's, passed the eyeball test last year when we were at
no
the
question.
Combine.
He is just immense.
Went to that Cavaliers-Pacers game. And
passes the eyeball test quite often. Last week when he had a 50-point triple-double. How do you find time to rebound and pass when you're scoring 50?
But, you know, if you don't have Sirius, you should probably get it. You're missing a lot of good content.
Before or after they file for bankruptcy?
Well, they might file, but they'll stick around.
They will? That'll be one of those.
Well, there's a guy who is in charge of Dish Network, and
I
guess
that.
He went and bought some of these stocks that were undervalued on the
market. $300 million or something.
Yeah, so now he wants to take over.
Yeah.
He wants control of Sirius.
And he's going to infuse more
he's
money into
check
the company.
Money into
yeah.
It.
But he wants power.
Well, see, what he can do is because he owns this Dish Network, he can kind of combine it, you know, so.
Does that mean he's looking for shows to fill content?
Maybe.
Is that why Mr. Kraft was there to get us on Sirius?
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
No, that, I don't think that came up.
You think that, you know, PFW and Probs could be the savior of Sirius?
I think it could be.
Who knows?
Yeah.
We work for.
The listeners will have to decide.
We'll come at a lot. Didn't Howard Stern get $500 million
to go
there?
But
yeah.
We'll come for a lot less than that.
But he right. also brought over 6 million subscribers with him.
Yeah.
So how many could we bring over?
A couple hundred
about
thousand.
40.
We'll make it proportional to the number. Our money will be proportional to the number
so
that we
we'll
bring over.
So we'll get $20 each.
Wait a minute.
Oh, come on now.
All right. Web radio at
$500 million for 6 million subscribers. I'll do the deal. If we do proportionally, mm-hmm. we get paid based on the – I'll do the deal.
Okay. Web radio at patriots.com
no,
is the email address.
I'm with you.
Web
he
radio
got, what, 90 times or 80-something times? If you want to give me 80-something times the number of listeners we bring.
500 million he got?
For 6 million listeners.
6 million listeners.
So it's 80 times. A little
yeah.
over 80 times.
Yeah.
So I'll bring our whatever we have.
Mm-hmm. Times
and
80.
Times 80.
Yeah.
I'll do that deal, Fred. Can you work that
I'll
out?
I'll work it out.
I want stock options, too, down the road.
Keith in Central
I'll
Florida.
Just take the 80.
Keith in Central Florida writes in. He says that Tuesday's PFW show was great.
Thank you, Keith.
He says, I've been listening to PFW Progress since 1998.
Wow.
And Riders on the Storm. Remember that one, Fred? It was the theme intro for PFW back then and for about the first 3 years for those who didn't listen at the time.
Riders on the that thing?
Anyway, I have to say Tuesday's show was a darn good show by Paul and Andy. You guys talked football for the entire 2 hours without anyone trying to audition for the Comedy Channel or some infomercial on TV like Fred talking about how he
like
shaves himself.
There's a
micro-touch
shaver
magic
on right
shaver.
Now.
Yeah, that's a piece of junk.
You have it?
What?
Did you use your other junk?
Now that you guys
you shave your junk with it, that's gross.
Now that you guys are only on twice a week, us Patriots junkies need their fix. With plenty
Speaking
of football to talk about, especially this year with all the changes, coaches, GMs, free agency, key contracts expiring in 2009 and 2010, the combine, potential trades, and the draft. You guys did not shy away and maintain good composure for only two guys for 2 hours on the air without nonstop commercials like EEI. I also thought Paul did a good job with all the emails, not forgetting about them because you get a phone caller or two. And see, I'm getting bashed in this whole thing. In addition, with Andy commenting, made for a good episode of PFW.
So, well, thank you, Keith.
Keith in Central Florida has no taste.
Wow.
But
Fred, I saw a description. There was a thread on PFWinProgress.com talking about the history of this show for some people who might not know it.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who wrote a long, well, you know, had documented years and years. And he wrote, I go back so far. I remember when Fred was boring. You used to be boring on this show?
He remembers when this show was boring.
No, when Fred was boring.
I don't know, I've always been myself.
I'm not sure. I think you came out of your shell the last few years.
I think he was boring when it first started. I've been listening to some of the old ones.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ever since he had the midlife crisis and bought the caddy, he's really been a lot, you know, more fun to listen to. Started shaving his back.
Now he's giving me
I'm
that
trying
look.
Trying to think now, you know, back in the Walpole days, we got into some really heated.
You also had Brian Morey on the show back then.
Speaking of boring.
So you know.
We would get into some real heated arguments. Sometimes.
Well, so did you and Paul, but those are entertaining.
But Brian and Paul would go at it. I mean,
well, those could be entertaining.
They genuinely don't like each other.
Right.
So
it could have de-escalated into an actual punching match.
Josh from Virginia says, you guys might have a couple hundred thousand listeners, but you have about 100 that would pay to listen to you.
Hey.
Tuesday's show was horrible.
See,
says Josh.
Now we got to go back and forth. Tuesday show is horrible.
Wait, Josh, is that the one who tried the audio thing and you ripped him?
Yes.
Okay, so he's got a little pent-up anger. Yeah,
that's because he was mad because I yelled at him. Or
Kamani says, Fred, you're right about the Boston outlook on their athletes and celebrities, and it's pathetic. You sound like country bumpkins with all this working town stuff. Every town, every city works. It's true. You know, Boston seems to I think they have the corner on working stiffs.
Well, because we're
every city has working stiffs.
I know, but
yeah, but it's New England. Everything started here,
right?
The country started here. Tradition
sort of.
Started here. You know, it's
and
take pride
we don't
in that.
Let anything new in.
That's true.
Apparently, you know, I love Boston, but I have to admit, it's very backwards in some of its thinking.
No question.
You know,
but you could say that's just tradition,
right?
Yeah. What?
Anthony in Naples.
He hands up the phone. He puts the phone thing up to his ear. Someone's on the phone?
Anthony in Naples.
Tony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, guys?
Thanks for lunch today, my friend.
You are the best.
Oh, Anthony Bott?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Where's the music?
He's looking.
You're the man!
Where's his music?
You're the best. Did you have
so
a...
So you just found that out now, Fred?
I didn't know that. I thought Pizzeria Grande sent the food.
They did send it, but it was paid for by Anthony in Naples.
So why are we promoting Pizzeria Grande? They're getting paid for this.
Oh, my
God. I know, but hey, no, they did a good job, and I wanted
they
to make
did
sure
do a good job.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, too, that Andy gives Two Gender a little kudos, because he's always getting on him that he sucks. He did a great job on this one.
What did he do?
He actually emailed me promptly yesterday at about 11 o'clock in the morning, I think it was. Gave me all the information, what I needed to do, which I kind of already knew what to do. But, you know, the information for, you know, Pizza Grande and, you know, to leave it at the front desk and whatever, the security guard. But what made it even easier because Pizza Grande, because Two Gen just sent the email, Pizza Grande, I'm sorry, what is it, Pizzeria Grande?
Yeah. Pizzeria Grande.
And and it's actually spelt like that. It's Pizzeria Grande at Comcast.net. So all I had to do, I gave them a call, forwarded to the email address, so they had all the instructions there, gave them my credit card number, and was good to go.
So it sounds like
easy, even a 10-year-old can do it.
Sounds like Pizzeria Grande made it easy, not Two Gender made it easy.
No, he did, Gary. Give him his credit.
Andy.
He remembered, and he called you. I mean, he emailed me yesterday.
Plus, we gotta credit the doctor, Dvorkin, Jason Dvorkin, for setting this whole deal up with Pizzeria Grande.
It's true.
Where is the doctor?
So you're not going to do it, are you, Andy?
I can't.
Why?
It's against my religion.
No, I saw an email, and it was from the last show. I don't know if you guys read it. They had Andy pegged.
That was Josh, the guy you're feuding with, because I defended you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You clown. All right, I agree with you,
Andy,
Josh.
Andy
Fred
loves
sucks.
To criticize people, but when it comes to sticking his neck out and trying to be in the first or
I was
going out on a limb, he never does
he
it.
He can't stick his
Andy,
neck out, Fred, for obvious reasons.
He never exposes
good job,
himself.
Good job, Two Gender.
Well, thank God he doesn't
good
expose
job
himself.
There, Andy. Good boy.
Thank you. I feel like I'm growing as a person right now.
It only took, what, 32 years?
But not the way Paul's growing right now. Oh!
But no football questions this week, but I do have something football, Patriots related anyways, and maybe you guys can give me the answer. Forgive me if I've asked this before. I don't think I have, but it's been on my mind for a while. What I've been looking for, and I can't find it on the internet, and maybe you can help me out, Fred, is a like kind of like a blueprint of Gillette Stadium.
Of the whole grounds?
Yeah, well, no, just the stadium itself, but blueprint form. Either that or like a really nice kind of drawing of the stadium. I don't want something like cheap and tacky like a poster of it. No, no offense.
So you want like mechanical drawings of the stadium? Something an architect would look at?
Exactly. Yes, a blueprint. Just like they have one at Fenway.
Are you planning a bombing?
No, I want to hang it on my wall.
Wait a minute. You can get a blueprint of Fenway Park?
Yes, you can. If you look online, they actually, it's not like detailed. It doesn't give you where the plumbing's going. It gives you,
I can tell you, if you go to patriot-place.com, I know there's a whole made-to-scale map of all the grounds, you know, of Patriot Place and Gillette Stadium, but it's not of the stadium. I don't think
not answering my question.
I don't think we have anything, any kind of mechanical drawings or blueprints of Gillette Stadium. Knowing our head of security, he wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
No, but like something like an aerial view, just kind of like a basic, you know, kind of like a, just like a you would bring to it like a presentation or something, just kind of like a general drawing, but like in blueprint type of form. You have to look it up for Fenway, and then you'll get the idea of what
I'll look and, you know, we'll email if I can find it. I don't think off the top of my head that there's anything like that.
Well, I'm just giving you ideas, so maybe you can put that to Mr. Kraft and say, hey.
Yeah, but why would you want that on your wall as opposed to a nice color
aerial,
an actual shot of Gillette Stadium?
Okay, here's the point. It's because sometimes some of these posters, they're kind of tacky, and they look like, you know, a poster of a stadium that you would put in a bar. I want this to kind of blend in with the decor versus, you know, so people
look at it. What are you in, a prison cell?
What's that?
Are you in a prison cell?
So you want it to have a look of, like, you know, a sketch of a whaling ship or something that would blend in kind of thing.
Okay. Kind of like that, or a little bit more architectural.
Right.
You know, just a little bit more structured.
A cross-section kind of thing?
He's looking for more the subdued lines of it rather than flashy, glossy.
Let me look around for you. Maybe I can find something.
If you look up Fenway Park, you'll see exactly. Just like look up blueprint or architectural drawing of Fenway Park, they have it.
Okay,
get on that, 2G.
2G, he's doing it.
It exists. It actually exists for a couple of the old school like baseball parks. You know, they have one of Yankee Stadium, of course.
Yeah.
They have one of Wrigley. That type of thing. You know, the older school. So I thought it'd be kind of neat to have one of Gillette, but I failed to find it.
Well, we'll see what we can do. There might be something out there.
You got some pull, Fred. Maybe you can have it make it happen.
Fred will make it happen.
And if Fred
will make it happen, and if he does, you'll send us lunch again, right?
Okay.
Hi. Well, you've reached the desk without saying.
Oh, you're the best, Anthony. I love you.
All right.
Take it easy.
Anthony in Naples.
He's down. For the record, the guy who took the order at Pizzeria Grande was not Anthony. It was Doug G.
Doug G.
Mr.
Is that on the
it's on
receipt?
The slip. Yeah. Two gender assumes everybody who takes an order at an Italian place is Anthony.
That's true, because he's, you know, that's the kind of guy he is.
What?
You know, he's
greasy.
He's two gender? Yeah, haven't you seen his hair?
Yeah, it's gross.
Emily writes in, Fred, please, please never leave the guys alone. On Tuesday, somehow they ended up reading an email I wrote back on January 13th.
Yeah. Paul read an email that was like 2 months old.
I don't know whose fault it is, but I may have to blame Fred for not being there to control them and Eric for not doing the show prep. If Fred isn't going to be there, I suggest you merely postpone the show until the next day. Every day that goes by with Castle still on the team, I grow increasingly concerned about Brady's health. Is that justified? I originally thought that the franchise tag and a trade would be announced simultaneously. The ESPN loonies keep saying that the Patriots plan to keep him next year. It just doesn't make economic sense. My only other hunch is that they could be speaking with another team that also has tight lips policy, and we won't hear anything until the trade comes through.
That's
true.
That's possible.
And they can't trade him until the new year starts.
Right, which is the 27th.
And if you've noticed, Fred, the Patriots are the only team that's announced a franchise player at this point.
That's right.
They have till the 19th, which is what, Thursday?
Next Thursday.
The Patriots are – and we were right when we were wrong because every team always waits.
Right.
But for some reason, they laid it out there and did it.
And, you know, from what I gather, the Patriots simply wanted to let everyone know what their intentions were. They wanted to just get it out there, you know, no speculation. They wanted to get it over so that, okay, we've done what we're going to do. Now, NFL, you can decide what you're going to do.
I find that so hilarious. I don't know what that means.
Okay, so 2G has printed out what I think Anthony is talking about. It's sort of like an old style type parchment looks like, and it's got a overhead view of the stadium. You know, very, you know, not detailed at all, but mechanical type drawing, and then it's got a drawing of the side of the building.
Can I see?
Yeah.
I think I knew what he was.
Where'd you print this out from? It's a printer.
The internet.
Toner? You need to why don't you email the help desk. Get some toner sent down. Anyway, so I see what he's saying, and it's like a poster.
Does
it
this
really
exist?
Is like a poster.
Well, but it's like the front page of the plans for the stadium is what it would be.
Yeah, but I think they made it into a.
No. But I mean, it's made to look like if you got that whole stack of plans, this would be like the front page.
That's a. I think we can do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, another lunch.
So, all right. That's Emily.
It is pretty cool, by the way. Two gender. Where do you? How much is that? Where do you buy it? Because I would put that up in my house.
Emily says, "P.S. If Howard Stern can get Mr. Kraft on the radio, why can't you guys?"
That's a good question.
That's a good question, Fred.
We've had Jonathan.
That wasn't the question, and it also wasn't the question.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he is Mr. Kraft, but he's not Mr. Kraft.
Right. Okay.
Does he know Vince McMahon?
Yes. In fact, when I was working in Boston, he was actually in the office. He brought him into my office to meet me.
Really?
Barrel-chested Vince McMahon.
But I actually met Vince McMahon. I would tell you this story back in...
Yes.
Okay.
No, you haven't, so go ahead. I'm actually interested. No,
back in the day, when I lived on the Cape, I was like a, not a doorman, but sort of like a go-to everything guy for this lounge called the Compass Lounge. It was like a real seedy place on Route 28 in Yarmouth.
Uh-huh.
And Vince McMahon actually bought my friend's house down on the Cape and moved down there. And he would come into the bar every once in a while. And you're right. I mean, he was like the perfect V-shape. Huge.
Really?
Best body money could buy.
Oh, he had really, really broad shoulders.
Wow.
And he would sit at the bar.
Real hair?
He was under your juice.
It was real hair, but it was really like in one place.
Because,
you know.
Didn't he do the thing with Trump
where he shaved his head
and actually shaved that hair?
Yeah.
So that was his real hair, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yep. So, you know, I didn't really know him, but I'd been in person with him before. Uh-huh. But then I met him in Boston. He came into my office.
You didn't take a folding chair and smack him over the back when he left the...
No.
He would kick your ass.
He's a big guy. Yeah. Steroids. But
six
he's
what?
A big guy.
How tall?
He wasn't that tall. I'd say maybe 5'11".
Oh, really?
So yeah.
Fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Oh, see, he looks taller.
Yeah, from what I remember,
he looks taller on television.
Yeah, he didn't seem to me that tall.
Huh.
Maybe he might be 6 foot, 6'1", but he wasn't like huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. We should have WrestleMania here.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Brian writes in, hey, guys and non-guy.
That's you two, gender.
Talking about steroids, he says, just wanted to get in on this whole steroids issue and just say that it has been pissing me off because of the big huff it's causing. It's hard for me to say this because I played college baseball and I love playing the sport, but I just wish baseball would just go away, just shut the sport down.
Ooh.
Anyways, I'm going to list off what I think have been the most high-profile athletes in each major sport, and I'm curious which of them you guys think would be the biggest story if any of them were found to have taken steroids at some point in their career. Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Michael Phelps, Wayne Gretzky. In my opinion, it would be Michael Phelps. Proceed.
I would go
Who's
Muhammad
the biggest
Ali.
Story?
I would go
I'd
Muhammad
say Muhammad Ali.
Ali,
probably.
Yeah.
He's
probably
loved.
The least likely, too.
Well, I don't know. I'd include him in my umbrella of I think everybody does.
Oh, back then, though?
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Back then,
back
when
then,
the Chargers were beating the Patriots in the 63 title game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all juiced up?
They were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't see the outside the lines?
No, I didn't.
Yep.
Everybody thought Chuck Knoll and the Steelers in the 70s were like the first team.
No, it was Sid
He
Gilman's
was an
team.
Assistant on Sid Gilman's team, and they openly took steroids in the offseason before that championship season.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
They say they got off him for the season, but then doctors say, well, you already got the gains.
And that was the big clobbering. They were like San Diego put up like 50-something points.
Them.
New England scored a field goal or something.
Right.
And so that makes some sense now when you look back on it.
So they got screwed. The first Patriots championship should have come in 1963.
Well, you know, knowing that now, it makes you think like, all right, you know, who cares anymore?
That's how I feel.
If they've always been taking it. Once you become a professional, you're going to get exposed to it.
Wow.
You know?
I wouldn't just say once you're a professional.
Doesn't that make you?
Well, even before
it's
that.
It's all levels.
But I'm just saying that, you know.
The percentage goes down the lower you get on the ladder, but there's a percentage in every rung of the ladder.
It's come to, you almost have to assume that anybody who's a professional athlete is doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not surprised.
I think of all those, the biggest.
I think all singers take drugs, and I can still listen to their music. Right?
I mean,
all singers?
I think most actors are on some drugs, uppers, downers, all kinds of things. I can watch their acting or drink heavily, have a drinking problem.
But that doesn't.
They all fuel their art in some way.
They don't.
All your artists, real artists,
they don't do it. They
often have issues, right?
Right.
Some of them do, yeah.
A lot of them.
Edgar Allan Poe used to smoke opium.
Are
they doing it?
A lot of the artists take hallucinogens.
I have
directly to influence
their training.
Whether they're doing it too, it does directly influence it. Because it affects their viewpoint, their consciousness, everything.
Yeah.
We've come to the bottom line. If you want to be great at something, take drugs.
Eric's like,
start taking
Eric's
drugs.
Maybe that's why I'm
Eric's
terrible.
Thinking. He's thinking. You know, I did have that caffeinated tea back in 1989. when I was doing my best work.
Tea bag.
Was it green tea or black?
I drink
tea?
Decaf tea.
Decaf. Black. Why black. Bother?
Because I like the taste.
If you're gonna drink tea. If you're going to drink tea, drink caffeinated tea.
No.
Not real tea if it's decaffeinated.
No, it tastes the same, Fred.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Have you ever had decaffeinated coffee?
No.
It does not taste
the same as
caffeinated coffee.
I get why you would. I agree with you on that, but I drink the coffee to get the boost.
I don't need the boost. I take it because I like the taste.
It doesn't. How do you know? You don't drink caffeinated. Try caffeinated.
I have tried caffeinated, and caffeine does bad things to my body.
Really?
So I can't.
It ravages your body?
It does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
Bad things to my body.
Not those kind of bad things.
Boyfriend.
What does it do? Makes you grow an extra nipple? What?
No, my heart rate
speeds
up.
Have you seen his nose? For God's sake, stop drinking.
Oh, it increases your heart rate?
Heart rate, gives me headaches.
Oh, then you shouldn't do it.
Trouble breathing. Well, I don't. That's why I drink the decaf.
No, don't drink tea, though. Drink something else.
No, I like the decaf, Fred.
Yeah.
Do you hold your pinky up when you pour it?
No, I don't.
I have a cup of tea once a day.
I know. I see you and make
around
fun of you every
o'clock?
Time. Yeah,
3:30.
Really?
Isn't it green or something?
Green tea.
Green tea is not really tea. That's gross.
Whoa!
Black tea.
Black tea, but green tea has more antioxidants.
Yeah,
than black tea.
Fred thinks this. He drinks this 3 o'clock tea.
Yeah.
And that's the cure for everything. You know, he can down the 8 pieces of fried dough, and as long as he has his 3 o'clock tea, you'll be healthy.
It's not the cure, but it can't hurt. Can't hurt.
It can't do anything.
It's better than having a second cup of coffee.
Is that fact?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I have a cup of coffee in the morning.
You just said I don't know. So you're so full of it.
I think it is.
It's supposed to be around 4 o'clock though that you have the tea, not 3. In Britain, it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Who cares what they do in Britain?
Well, because that's the tradition. We were talking about tradition. Boston's
tea and crumpets.
Yeah. 4 o'clock.
What's this new thing I hear about the wine? Now. You'd have to drink too much wine to get the effects, but there's an extract that makes wine now that they're saying is like the fountain of youth. They figured it out. In fact, it was on 60 Minutes, I think. And
this isn't that berry, right?
You can't drink – no, it's not that. It's not the – I know what you're talking about. You can't drink enough wine to get this effect, but now they're taking this one thing and concentrating it into like pills, I think.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be the fountain of youth.
Isn't it like the same thing that's in chocolate?
Resveratrol.
What?
Resveratrol.
Is it? Is that what it is?
I think so.
Okay.
And is that also what's in dark chocolate? Because they said that in order to have, you know, those
you need
effects,
7 billion
you need
pounds,
like 1,000 pounds of dark
so
chocolate.
So only Paul's going to live forever.
Oh. Yeah, but there's a company now that's, and I think they might be local. I think they're a Massachusetts company that's working on concentrating this so that you get the effects.
In pill form.
In pill form.
Hmm.
So
that's cheating.
Well, hey. All right.
Oh, by the way, your guy Lance Armstrong, while we're on the drug topic, remember he made the big to-do about he was coming back and he was going to have an independent company follow him and drug test him every day? Yeah, he's decided not to do that because it was going to be too costly and logistically impossible.
In other words,
he's going to get back on the juice.
Wait a minute. I thought he admitted he was on it.
No, he's never admitted anything. He's the biggest fraud in the history of frauds.
Why did I say that I was off of him?
I think you admitted that he's on it.
But because I thought that there was
proof. Well, there's been proof, varying degrees of circumstantial and other evidence, but he has never admitted to it. He is still live strong and this great guy.
I just know
except
now.
He sleeps around like nobody's business.
I used to be naive.
Every time you look, he's got a new younger woman on his arm.
I used to be naive to thinking that it was only some guys. But after hearing that tape conversation of the two guys in front of the locker and the guy saying, look, it's undetectable. It's absolutely undetectable. You know that anybody with money has a source now that can give them something that either isn't being tested for or can't be detected in the test.
Correct.
And they're all doing it. And somebody said it today. I think it was John Dennis on EEI. These are the guys that are of the most competitive, driven guys in the world. And of those guys, people like Michael Phelps and A-Rod, they're the most driven of the most driven. Of course they're going to do anything they can that they think they can get away with to make themselves better. That's just their nature.
He's getting a phone call.
That's like one of those Asian.
But when A-Rod had his sit down with Peter Gammons last week,
yep.
He said, Peter asked him, why did you do it? And he said, when I signed the big contract, I really felt the pressure to succeed. Well, that to me sort of implies that he didn't really think he was good enough for that contract. Right. That he thought he was overpaid and that he really needed to do something. If you really think you're that good, why do you need to do that?
Eric, don't listen to any of that crap.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to.
They want you to feel sorry for them.
Well, I don't. But
it was too much pressure.
No, I don't feel sorry for
him. No, but he's clearly a guy that has trouble dealing with stress and pressure and confidence. I mean, we see that in small stretches where he just goes in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they're booing him and it clearly affects him. And he has issues with as much as he is one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen, he doesn't believe it. He's like the woman who looks in the mirror and says, I'm fat when she weighs 100 pounds.
Right, because in his very next sentence he said, but I think since 2003 I've shown to everybody that I don't need that.
Yeah.
Well, but if you
you're
if
assuming
you've
shown I
that,
believe you that you stopped.
Right. You thought you were that good when your agent went out and tried to get you that contract in the first place.
Right.
Then you signed it and then you realized, oh my God, I need to perform.
Right.
Well, if you were that good, you wouldn't have needed to feel the pressure.
It's all just a bunch of
Kamani says that saying I drink decaf might be the gayest thing Eric ever said.
Fred, I told you I have a restraining order against Kamani, didn't I?
You do?
Yeah, you're not allowed to read any of his emails that are regarding.
Well, you have a restraining order. I don't.
Yeah, no, you need to abide by that.
And isn't he in Chicago? He's like 1,500 miles away.
It's an internet. It's an internet restraining order.
It's a cyber
order. Yeah.
No, sorry.
You're not to read any emails.
I like
from
the
him.
Buttons that he pushes on you.
No, it's not allowed. No. There's a moratorium on that subject.
This guy might be the first person to buy art from you, so you should be nice to him.
No, I think there's a chance I'll get it sold next month. I told
him. Oh, really?
I have a show next month. I have a show the following month. And I have one set up for the summer.
Alex Rodriguez doesn't have enough confidence. You have way too much confidence for your actual production.
Now, when you say show, does this mean like setting up a table at the end of your driveway and
no, in a gallery.
Oh, in a gallery.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have a group show in March, one in April.
Nice.
And then
nice.
A larger one in Providence.
Now
I was
watching that HBO show. It's like
I'm
sex
waiting.
Show.
Please tell me.
You ever see that sex show on HBO?
Yes.
What is it called? Like
Sex in the City?
No. It's
Real Sex.
Real Sex. What I'm thinking is, in your gallery showing, I saw something where people go in. It's like an art museum, but two women like just start going at it.
Where is
this? And people just watch it
on that HBO show.
Yeah, so maybe you on your show you can have like two women like
that'll be the exhibit.
That would it would be exhibit. You put them, velvet rope around them, and while they're there, you have your stuff there. So maybe you could sell.
Uh-huh.
But that would be the attraction.
Who is calling you?
My wife.
Oh boy.
Doesn't she know we do a show from noon to two, Tuesdays and Thursdays?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's a super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping.
Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The Super Sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'll be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get to your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Coming this summer to Patriots.com. It's the ultimate showdown between pro bowler and pro sketcher. All pro and all show. A guy who's played in the Super Bowl and one who's worked at the Super Bowl. It's Gostkowski versus Scalavino.
I have to make 6 out of 10 field goals from 35 yards.
I think you can do that.
Oh, I know I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Wow!
Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event as the current Patriots kicker faces off against the former college football kicker, whose last kick was 15 years ago for a university that no longer has a football program.
But if I start making 6, 7, if I'm in that range, I might switch left-footed just to show
You've seen Ali Frazier, Duke, North Carolina, Red Sox, Yankees, but nothing will compare to this. It's Gostkowski Scalavino, coming this summer to Patriots.com.
All right, back here at BFW in Progress. We're, I don't know if Gostkowski lived up to his end of the bargain.
Not yet, anyway, no. We've got time, Fred. We've got time. We've got the whole offseason.
I know, but he was supposed to write something about the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
That was just an idea.
That
he
was an idea.
Something.
He can write anything he wants. But
maybe he'll write about labor uncertainty.
Okay. We don't want players.
Or going to his into his contract year. Or... who knows?
You know, he could still write about the Pro Bowl, and we could, you know, publish it when we get it in April or whatever.
You know what he should do? I would like a first person, what he's thinking during, like, a game. Like, what he's thinking when the offense is doing something, you know.
Because long stretches where he doesn't have to do
anything. Yeah, where he's bored, where, and I want honesty, though. I don't want, well, I'm contemplating that it's 3rd and 7, blah, blah, blah. I want... boy, there's a hot girl in the front row. Like, I want to know how often his mind wanders and how often it doesn't, and when he really ramps it up to get ready and go to the net and do his kicking. I'd be interested in that.
Well, as soon as he gets in touch with me, I'll run these stories ideas by him.
Oh, someone's at the door.
Hey, this is Vince Wilfork. Now it's time for what? I ain't doing this.
Vince, who said, quote, the longer they wait, the higher the price goes up. Today's, courtesy of Eric and Fred's chat on useless tea bags, is Tea Beggar. That's Tea Beggar. And it is one who begs to be Tea
bagged?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
We have a disclaimer, Fred. It's okay.
I don't know if it's okay, but we do have a disclaimer.
You going to read any emails today?
Paul, I've been reading emails.
Like four?
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
They know the address. They've sent them in. They want you to read them.
Not everybody knows. 508-543-7482.
Still looks for the number.
It's the phone number. Hey, merry men of PFW and Eric, says Paul from London.
That's not right.
Just a question and then a comment. How many players on the Patriots team are certainties for the staying in the 53-man roster? Or alternatively, which players that are signed have their places under threat?
That's a long list.
Yeah, it's tough.
Welker's a lock. Gostkowski's a lock.
There are a lot of locks.
Matt Light's a lock.
Offense, lock.
Lonnie Paxton, well, he's a
I would just go with the offense.
Yeah.
Offense is a lock.
Well, right.
Moss.
Yeah.
Who?
Some of the backup
guard. Jabbar Gaffney, I think, is a lock. Because I think he wants to be back, and I think they can get him on the cheap because he's not that good. I mean, I don't think, you know, the Maroney, I think, goes to training camp.
Yes.
So he's a lock until the very end of training
Morris.
Camp. Morris is a lock.
Falk.
Evans, I would consider a lock, even though he's a free agent.
Right.
Right. And what Paul needs to understand is that they come February 27th, they won't have 53 men on the roster because all those guys that have contracts that are up, they're no longer on that 53-man roster.
Right.
So guys like, you know, the running back.
Lamont Jordan.
Lamont Jordan is gone. Larry Izzo technically is gone.
Right.
Unless he resigns.
Unless he resigns.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too long before some of those guys, like Evans and Izzo, come
Paxton
to terms. Right.
But they're all, I mean, they're virtual locks to be back.
James Sanders
is not a virtual
lock.
Not a
virtual
back,
lock.
I wouldn't think. I think he is, beyond Castle, probably the most interesting free agent. Because somebody might see him and say, he's not bad. We'll give him a little bit of money. And, you know, he comes from a decent system and whatever. Smart player, solid.
I mean, he's certainly going to be looking for money. I mean, this is his.
Well,
I actually think he's a loyal kind of guy.
Yeah, really? I don't think he would break
now,
the
bank. If somebody says, here's 4 years, $50 million, and the Patriots are ordering 4 years, $10 million, then he'd have to be an absolute idiot. But I think he would leave a little money on the table to stay here. I think he's pretty loyal to them. I think because of the Pat Hill, Bill Belichick pipeline right into the league and the way he's been treated professionally, I think he kind of likes it here.
All right. Also, Paul says, since Friday, my personal life has sort of been flipped upside down. I won't go into details of why, but right now I want to say that PFW is 4 hours a week that is entertaining, genuinely makes you laugh, as well as putting you in a great mood for the rest of the week. You guys have no idea of the entertainment you provide us. You make me forget everything that was going on, and Paul and Andy provided a show Tuesday that was excellent.
Well, Paul,
Paul's having girl troubles.
In this downtime, I'm going to lift his spirits by saying someone has worse luck than him. I think I told you guys last summer, after I had my colonoscopy, that I was having problems with an itchy butt. So,
this is way too much.
I go to my wife and I say, what should I do? And she goes, well, you probably
you didn't drag her into this, did you?
No. Sort of.
Oh, God.
She goes, you probably have hemorrhoids, so just buy some Preparation H hemorrhoid cream, put it on there. So I did it. I did it starting probably last June through the season. I was carrying it on the road with me because my butt itched all the time. I would wake up in the middle of the night with an itchy butt.
Man.
And you know what Confucius say about men who go to bed with itchy butt. He wake up with
I
smelly finger.
I just lunch.
I have been doing it nonstop. It's been getting progressively worse through about a week and a half ago when my wife said, and now I've gone through probably 6 or 8 tubes of that stuff. She goes, well, did you try putting anything else on it? She goes, we got some hydrocortisone cream in the bathroom. So I try that. Boom. Gone within 2 days. Apparently, I'm like allergic to Preparation H hemorrhoid cream.
Well,
so the thing that was supposed to make the itch go away.
Well, what? How did it start?
I might have just had a little itch or something. I don't know. Maybe I didn't wipe properly, like Fred says. But I was fueling the itch for somewhere in the range of 8 months. I mean, agonizing pain I'd be in at night. I'd have, like, my legs in the air scratching my butt as hard as I could. I don't think you understand how much it hurt and burned. And I was essentially throwing, like, gas on the fire, making it worse every night.
Throwing gas?
And like 2 days later, after I switch creams, gone. Completely gone.
Hydrocortisone. Okay.
Wow.
So if anyone has issues with an itchy butt and you're putting Preparation H on it, you could be allergic to it.
Oh, my God.
It started when Andy was out mowing the lawn on his 5-acre spread. And he had to go, and he used some leaves to wipe himself, and it ended up being poison
ivy. I think it started when the guy pulled the tube out of my butt.
When the guy pulled his tube out of your butt?
You might have had an infection or something. You know, you never know.
No, I don't think. I think I was allergic to the cream.
Oh, boy.
Can you imagine that? I was going 8 months with an itchy butt.
I don't think I.
It's better now, though. That's the moral of the story for Paul is through these times of, you know, pain and suffering, yours, maybe mental, mine was anal, I guess. You'll come through it. There is a light at the end of that tunnel.
We're all happy for Andy. Anyway, let's get back to some emails, webradiopictures.com.
Our lives are there to entertain our listeners.
A lot of sharing.
Reed from the Cape. Hey, guys. Eric and Q-Gender, you guys have talked about trading for Peppers, but I was under the impression that he was a free agent by the comments he made at the Pro Bowl. Preppers said he will listen to the offers from teams, make a decision on where he wants to go. Also, if the Pats trade Castle and Brady isn't ready to go, will we see O'Connell start next season? I wonder if KOC, the nickname I gave him, is NFL ready.
KOC, the nickname I gave him.
Well, we're gonna need to see him play a lot more.
He was not good in training camp last year. He had that nice throw against the Giants where he said, "Oh, I'm doing things now that I couldn't have done a month ago." But you know, we've now missed
that
September, October,
the end zone.
September, October, November, December, 4 months of practice time and reps and film and all that. Now I know he was running the scout team, but still, we don't get to see all that. So we don't know where he is now, but he was not NFL ready.
Technically,
last...
Gutierrez was running the scout team because O'Connell was the number two last year.
O'Connell was doing nothing except walking around getting every seventh rep.
O'Connell was doing what Castle had done for the past two years.
Yeah, he was not NFL ready in my mind last August.
No.
So I would think he'd need to take a jump. And Peppers is a free agent, but I think there's an assumption that they're going to franchise
tag him and then
so
maybe
they,
work out a deal.
At the very least, don't lose him for nothing. Mm-hmm. I'd be scared to death of him. You want him, Fred? You love him.
A lot of money.
I would like to see
it's a lot of money
in this defense.
See, that's the problem I have. If I ran a 4-3, I'd sign him in a heartbeat. But I got to project him to do some things I've never seen him do in the NFL and pay him a lot of money and trade for him.
But he has said he wants to play in that type of system, which leads me to believe he knows he can do it.
A lot of guys think they can do things. This gets back to that, like, overconfidence and these are the greatest athletes. They think they can do anything. The guy is 6'7". 290
What did they run at
pounds.
North Carolina?
I don't know. I'm sure a four-man front.
I don't know.
Well, they used to run a 3-4 when Dom Capers was the coach, but then they changed up, I think.
What did you ask me? Didn't you ask me North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
No, I'm pretty sure a four-man front.
But if Fred's right, if they did play it once before when...
Well, no. He was talking about the Panthers. The
Carolina Panthers.
I know, but that also proves my point. If he's had any experience at all, either in college or early on, maybe he knows he can do it.
Any. And I don't think he's physically capable. I know he's one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen. I think 6'7", 290-something pounds is too big to be able to play that position. I'm sorry. I just don't think you have the fluidity, the change of direction, the hips, the knee bend, all those little cliches you want to throw out there. I don't think you have him.
He makes plays, though, at that position.
If you're going to tell me you're just going to put his hand down and have a pass rush and he does nothing else, well, now you're changing your defense because you ask your linebackers to do things other than that at times. But I think you have to ask him to do things he has yet to prove that he can do.
I thought he was always billed as this guy who could play wide receiver, tight end, defensive end.
So was Adalys Thomas, and I see him chasing guys running across the field. He's a good linebacker, but I'm not buying that he could play safety in the National Football League. And I'm not handing two draft picks and $40 million to Julius Peppers to go, you know what, son of a bitch, he can't do all the things we ask him to do.
Josh says, I always knew Andy was an idiot, but that little story confirms my suspicions that he is a complete moron. So is it safe to say that Andy's behind has been getting more attention than Eric's in the last few months?
Much safer.
If my hand counts, then yes.
Oh, see now. Iggy from Madrid writes,
have you ever had an issue there?
Where?
But it doesn't last, you know, long enough to need to use any sort of, you know.
No, I have a very healthy rear end.
It was terrible. I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Eric just kind of gave me a look. I don't know.
What?
He likes healthy rear ends.
Iggy from Madrid writes in, I've been thinking about the draft, and my conclusion is that the Pats won't draft a cornerback or linebacker in the first day. As to corner, I think everyone agrees that the weakest starting position in the Pats is starting corner. Even if we think Hobbs can play, the hole Asante left is still there. But you have to you have two young corners, so what do you do? Do you draft another corner? I don't think so. The situation is similar.
Why not?
Yeah, the situation is similar at linebacker. You have one weak link at middle linebacker, but you can always plug in there someone because Mayo will probably do the job. And outside, you still have the two solid veterans and some young blood in Crable and Woods.
So what are you drafting?
In short, I think we need help right now at safety, right tackle, and tight end. And I think the Pats are going to choose in the first day of the draft a safety, a tackle, and a tight end. P.S., of course, you can always look at this email after the draft and make fun of me. That's Iggy from Madrid.
Let's make fun of Iggy now.
I follow his line of thinking, but
Iggy,
you know,
you are making the mistake that a lot of people made when Belichick first came here, saying that
he's
not
going to do
because
something.
Of this, they'll do that. And most of the time, they take the best guy available.
But even using his logic, I mean, you have Ben Watson and Dave Thomas. You can say you have two tight ends there. Sure, you could upgrade, but you can say that about any position.
Right.
And saying they have two young corners from last year who prove nothing. I mean, we can say Will Hite looked better at the end of the year. We can say Wheatley was, quote, just coming on when they didn't really prove anything.
Right.
And worst case scenario, if you draft another one, well, now you have three young corners. So you have two starters and a nickelback.
Especially if you have a guy who's like an Antonio Rogers Cromartie, who you think he's going to start right away. He's got natural ability.
Which I still think is the big issue, the top of the cornerback position. I think is the problem. Because I think there's a chance that out of Wheatley, Hobbs, and Will Hite, you have a decent two, three, four corners in there. But you lack Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
You lack a guy to make plays. You lack a guy to be a top end. So if they can get one of those, I like it.
And there's and if they find another Gerard Mayo that they think they have, there's who's to say they're not going to take him?
I'd like to get – I'm not sold on Crable, and I'd like to get younger at outside linebacker.
Sure.
As I said earlier, I've been lusting after – my new lust, I've been lusting for a middle linebacker to run around. I think we got him now.
Yeah.
Now let's get one of those edge rushers that some teams have where on the snap of the ball, he's in the backfield.
A James Harrison? You want a James Harrison?
Yeah. We're not testing, right?
No.
Todd in Nova Scotia says to Andy, doesn't the fact that your wife let you go for 8 months say something? This is for making my mother cry, a-hole. Andy's the best. So
what did you do to his mother?
Maybe she was crying from laughing, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Well, I don't know about you, Fred, but I do make those kinds of decisions are my wife's. If she tells me, oh, you shouldn't be using this cream or you should be using, I mean, that's what a wife
is for.
But
did you wait 8 months to tell her that you were having the problem still?
She knew.
She
would yell at me.
You go for 8 months?
Listen, we'd be watching TV and she'd be like dozing off and she'd be like, why is the couch shaking? Are you scratching your butt again? That's how bad it was. And she never said, maybe you're allergic to the cream. You should try a different cream.
Huh.
And I tried all the different creams, too. Store brand, real kind, fake kind, all of them. They all made me itch. But cortisone cream, boom.
That's great.
Dry
let's see. Mike from Ireland says, I know yous have been saying for the last few weeks that we need to get better and younger on defense, but I was wondering, from what you have seen in the draft class so far, are there any big backs that we could draft in the late rounds? I know our backs are okay, but I'd like to see a big back run over people. By the way, Tuesday show was good. Don't know what everyone's problem was. If you didn't like it, don't listen. But it's good to have all the lads back.
I think Paul and I did a decent job because it seems like it was a 50-50 split between.
And you talked football
boring.
For almost 2 hours.
We did not screw around at all. You don't have time with two people to screw around.
Right.
You got to talk football, answer the emails, read them, all that. Big backs, late in the draft. I haven't gotten there yet. Not going to lie to you.
But Andy and I are going to the Combine next week. We'll have all those
answers.
You're
looking forward to that?
I am. I like the Combine.
Made our reservations at St. Elmo's.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And Weber Grill, we're going to be visiting again because we're in the same hotel where Weber Grill is.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
What hotel is that?
The Embassy Not So Suites.
He's down on that. Those are great rooms.
They are. The only thing that sometimes lags is their internet access, and that's kind of important for us.
Yeah, but we're...
Oh, do you need
we're
that?
At the stadium
Make sure
most
you bring
of the time.
That wireless card.
Yes.
Make sure you blog, Eric.
Don't worry. You'll get some blog readings.
Don't we have...
Dandrogynous.
Wow, awful defensive.
I was just making fun of his voice.
But you do need to blog, right?
We will be blogging.
We will be. Yeah. Do we have any announcements in that way?
What do you mean?
We'll be blogging from...
I don't know. Isn't there the blog a little different now or something?
Well, no. It's
For us, it is.
The only...
For logging
for,
in.
For us, it is. We integrated the blog to
our
site. Patriots.com.
So you don't leave the site anymore. It's
right
on the site.
Right. It's right on the site.
That's kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah. So, but you guys will be blogging throughout the Combine.
Yep.
We'll start on Wednesday, travel day. Eric will have a nice story about, some woman
so
he met on the plane
Wednesday,
and wants to marry.
You're leaving. The 18th,
The 18th, we're leaving. We'll be back
Sunday night.
Late Sunday night.
Well, that'll be good.
And we will have all – I think it's going to be an interesting combine because not only the combine, but there's a lot going on with the league. So those interviews with
the
executives, GMs, right. coaches, I think this is a very interesting this year and obviously next year for
it'll,
all that stuff.
It'll be interesting, Fred, if Scott Pioli shows up there as the Chiefs GM, whether he'll take any sort of questions.
Because he never did as
because
the
he never did
guy.
As the Patriots guy.
What's your – what do you think?
He will.
Front and center? Because I'm going
to
laugh.
Needs
and
to
I'm
make
asking
the scene.
A, I'm asking
needs
a question.
To make rounds.
I'm asking a question. I got to ask something.
Yeah.
See if I can tweak him a little bit now that he's gone.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's going to do it for
Scooter.
This edition of PFW in Progress. What's today? Thursday?
Next Tuesday.
Is today Thursday?
Today's Thursday.
It is Thursday.
All right. So we'll see you next Tuesday.